Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 20th day of October, year 2019. I'm Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is solutions for the winning right, and yes, I borrowed that from Mr. John Mark. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel. And today these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Kumru Ambeth. And I do want to remind everybody we are in the question and answer mode. So if you're on a computer, you would press the ask question button if you wish to join the conversation. Or if you're on a phone, you would use star 6. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And we do encourage folks to go there from time to time as I post news items on there, any kind of information I'm getting as far as a good book or reference material or identity material that will teach you the history of who's who in this zoo. And if you can't figure out who's who, it's pretty hard to figure out who your enemy is, isn't it? So again, PastorDan.net, and also there's a schedule page there, a contact us page. There on the front page is a way to help out financially if you feel so inclined. There's also archives of past programs. A verse I want to read for today is Psalm 51, verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Your salvation. Who is our Savior? You know, everybody's talking about Jesus in the church world, and I'm not trying to denigrate our Messiah at any point. That's just the ludicrous translators and modern English Bibles in how they've completely butchered the original. And again, where did we get Jesus from? We got it from the Germans. Why? Because the first Bibles were printed in what? German. You know, Gutenberg. Now figure it out. Gutenberg was German. So the first Bibles put his name, J-E-S-U-S, in the German language. And but how do you pronounce J-E-S-U-S in German? Jesus. Exactly the way the Greek texts in the New Testament put the name of Messiah. So because we see it in the German, we pronounce it Jesus, and we think, well, that's the name, and everybody goes around as if that's the only name you can use and everything else. And it's like, well, if you're reading a German Bible, you don't pronounce it Jesus. If you're in many other languages, you don't pronounce it Jesus. Just like in Spanish, it's Jesus, which is closer to Jesus in the Greek. Okay, so the main point is that folks don't get bent out of shape over the details. We're in a war, which is why we're talking today about solutions for the winning right and propertarianism and the law of reciprocity that we spoke about on the show with John Mark recently, with Michael as our guest. We're getting new people contacting me all the time. This message is getting out there. And believe it or not, a lot of the recent comments, coming in are from people who particularly liked the interview with John Mark and Michael on there. Okay, I was in there somewhat, but most of the time it was Michael and John exchanging ideas, and very good ideas. And here again, it's because of where we are in the country, folks. Everybody knows it. We're divided right down the middle. So the scripture tells us that the truth and the truth alone will set you free. And so that's what we're all about. We want to get to the truth. We get to the bottom of these things. Stop the church world from lying to us. Stop the government from lying to us. The media from lying to us. As Pat Shannon, in his latest book, Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie, does an excellent job throughout the book of just covering issue after issue after issue that we know that they have lied to us about. And so you're much safer assuming authoritarian figures, whether it be church, banking, government, medical, just assuming they're lying to you. You're going to be more right than you are wrong. Okay, that's just where we are. And it's sad, but it's where we are. We have to deal with it. The Holy Spirit, our Father gives us the Holy Spirit to help balance and keep you on track so that you don't go bananas like the rest of the world is. And they are going bananas. I talk to people every day. A lot of folks think that folks are not aware of the seriousness of our situation, when I'm here to tell you that, you know, a lot of people are aware. Just because they don't get on social media, because a lot of folks are beginning to figure out that those are all mechanisms to spy on us. And so they're using it less and less and less. So the people that really make a difference, the people who can change this world for the better, you're not going to see their names very often. They're like the folks in the hill country of Missouri, Arkansas, down through Illinois, parts of Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, where I've traveled and I've met the hardcore militia individuals in America. Most of them are former peace officers or military guys. Some aren't, but there's a lot of them that are. They've been trained as military men or policemen. And they're dug in. Okay, I've met them everywhere. And again, they don't talk on a phone. They don't get on a flip phone or a smartphone. They don't hold public meetings. But that doesn't mean they're not there. They are there. And they're watching what's going on, okay? In fact, the people who can probably make the biggest difference in the direction this country's going, nobody knows who they are, including myself. I've met some. I've met enough of them to know they're there and what kind of people they are. Salt of the earth. Absolute salt of the earth, as Christ described our people. And speaking of our people, one of the things I got today, and let me see if I can find it. This was, again, this is what's beautiful about the networking of our people today. And not just in identity, in this message so that relates to the Bible, but also in the geopolitical realm, the fact that we communicate with each other and share information. Now, this was a comment made on John Mark's YouTube channel. And it's been so many years since I read the Federalist Papers, I probably should go back and read it again. But this Fritz Schnauzer is what he goes by, posted this on John Mark's channel, and he says around the 15-minute mark, John Mark mentions we the people. In Federalist Paper number 2, John Jay writes about who Americans are. So even though the Constitution didn't spell it out, as Mike correctly pointed out, it's one of the flaws, and so did John Mark, it's not specific enough, okay? Well, that's because the people in the late 1600s up to the middle 1700s in America knew what the original documents were for, the people that they were for. That was common knowledge at that time. They did not see a day where we would be propagandized to the death as we are today with false information. So anyway, but in the Federalist Papers, John Jay had this to say, I have as often taken notice that Providence, meaning Yahweh our Father, has been pleased to give this one connected country, okay, connected what? Sovereign states, to one united people. A people descended from the same ancestors. Remember the Greek word Adelphos that we translate brother means from the womb? It's talking about racial brethren. Speaking the same language, professing the same faith or religion, attached to the same principles of government, very similar in their manners and customs. It's called homogeneous. America was a nation united homogeneously, meaning the original 15 or 13 colonies united as sovereign states. The federal government was never to become our Lord and Master. That's part of the problem, okay? Our Heavenly Father is our Master. Our fathers may not have codified the concept in the Constitution, but they did recognize that there was a unifying European identity to the American people. So, very good again. I just noticed in the chat, some people are saying I can't see the other people in the chat. That's because I've turned off that feature, and I'm not doing that to be a butt or anything like that. But I had to hide it because the last time one of our guests had come on and used his phone, there were trolls in our chat that night, and they absconded with his phone number and blew up his phone with all kinds of nasty comments and different things like that. So, again, I'm not trying to make trouble for the listeners out there because we do have a fairly good-sized group in here already. But it was necessary to protect the private information of those calling in by phone. That's the main reason. So I don't know any other way around it at this time. If I can figure out how to make this do it, I will, like giving partial permission. But right now it's only got a toggle that says turn it on, turn it off. So I turned it off, okay? And again, I apologize for that. I do want to remind you, too, though, that you remember if you're spending a lot of time in the chat room, sometimes, and this isn't everybody, but sometimes it takes away from being able to basically catch what's being talked about by either myself or the guest. So the chat room should have minimum amount of stuff in there or a way to communicate to me if there's somebody that has something that they want said, but they don't want to actually come onto the call. That's the main reason for the chat. Not for inter-party discussions during the broadcast, okay? But again, okay, I digress. So this guy, Fritz Schnauzer, very good that he shared with us Federalist Paper number 2, which correctly identifies who the people of the United Colonies were. So if it applied to that group of people in 1775, then that's the same group of people it applies to today. It's never been amended. Now, everybody says, and I've had Jews and blacks comment with me a few times. Most of the time they don't. But there's been a few times they've gotten onto a discussion and tried to say that, you know, well, no, America's a melting pot for everybody. Well, no, I'm sorry, but that's not true. The Founding Fathers never expected this nation of ours, Confederacy of sovereign states, never intended it to be for other people of other races. Sorry. Again, that's not out of hatred. That's not saying I don't wish the best for people in sub-Saharan Africa or Indonesia or India or China or anywhere else. No, I wish them all the best. I hope they succeed at whatever they do. But that doesn't mean they have a right to invade my lands, okay? And stop calling them immigrants and all this other bullshit because they're invaders at this point. Now, I'm not holding it against them because we have treason being committed in the United States by people like George Soros and certain factions of the Rothschild family and some of these other Jews who are financing these people. They're literally putting money in their pocket to come here. Why? Because out of chaos comes order. That's their little motto. So their idea is to divide and conquer white America and all the other European nations that were predominantly white. And how do you do that? Well, if you don't want to use an army, because that would be too obvious, and we would take to our weapons and crush them instantly, you do it through gradualism. That's the hallmark. That's the MO of the Jew, as he will take generations to do things, okay? They don't mind taking time to bring down a foe. And we're their foe. They hate us. They hate Christ, they hate whites, they hate Christians, they hate us, okay? Literally, they hate everybody. If you read their writings, all races are considered to be inferior to themselves and simply here to be their servants, okay? That's in their own writings, their own speeches of late, and so people they say, well, Dan, you sound like your anti-Jewish. Well, you call it whatever you want. But it's a fact. They finance it. They're bringing them in here. And the reason they're bringing them in here is because it's doing exactly what they wanted it to do. It's dividing our nation. As John Mark so succinctly points out in his channel, the data, we have the data. And these invaders will vote 70% left, okay? And that includes Jews. They're invaders as well. They're not part of the original colonists, all right? Sorry. I know it makes people feel good. There were plenty. No, there weren't, okay? Stop smoking the dope at lunchtime and let your brain settle down, and you'll figure it out. Again, that's the propaganda that they want you to believe. It's not a fact, okay? Just as John Jay pointed out. And if you don't know who John Jay is, shame on you, then go Google it and look it up. The other email I got here that was very, very interesting and good, and to show people are starting to wake up, I got it from Mr. Gertjan Ziegler up there in Canada, who's been a guest on this program and a prolific writer. He's got a new book getting ready to come out, Exposing the Edomites. But I sent out a book report on a book called The Red Mafia, How the Russian Mob Invaded the United States. Now, Russian mob is a euphemism for Jewish mob, okay? So it's actually a misnomer to refer to the people coming from Russia as the Russian mob, okay? They're only Russian in the sense that they live there. They're not ethnic Russians. Ethnic Russians are Caucasians. That's why they call them white Russians. That's why there's a differentiation between red Russians and white Russians. The white Russian soldiers were the ones who warned the German women and children to run as they came into Germany, because that the red Russians, made up of a mixture of Asiatics, Jews, and the rest, were barbarians. Okay, now interestingly enough, this book, The Red Mafia, was written by a Jew by the name of Friedman. So people can't say, well, Dan, it sounds anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish that you're talking about them there Jews in the mafia that came here and how brutal they were. Well, I'm just quoting Friedman out of his book, The Red Mafia, and you spell it with a Y, M-A-F-I-Y-A. Yids, okay? Jews. Yids. See why they put the Y in there? They always try to hijack something. So the Italian mob used mafia, and so they come in and they change it and they slap a Yid in there, a Y. So now it's a Jewish. So when you see it spelt with the Y or called the Red Mafia, it's, you say here again, it's all, they hide behind things. It's actually a Jewish mob. As you read the book, one of the things that stands out is the brutality. So you hear a lot about how brutal the Russian mob is. Well, isn't it odd that the butchering and torturing and maiming of people was done by the Red Mafia? Not ethnically white Russians, Jews. And this guy almost brags about it in the book, about how brutal and ruthless, but also how rich these Jews become. Well, that's because they extort, blackmail, pickpocket, assassinate, kidnap. And if you don't give them what they want, they brutally murder. And they have murdered politicians. They have murdered bankers. So when you see the brutality of it, just think of what happened 100 years ago in Russia. Okay, if you read the eyewitness accounts of what the Red Bolshevik Jews did when they came through Russia to the white Christian men, women, and children. And you see the barbarism, the grotesque things that they did. They didn't just kill people. They butchered them. And then you read this book, and that's the exact behavior of the Jews that came out of Russia and flooded into the United States when the Iron Curtain was lowered and the KGB let the hardened criminals out of the gulags. Well, who do you think were in the gulags, which is their prison system? Okay? Mostly the Jewish criminals. So when the Jews came here, it's like Castro, when he let the Cubans come here, he emptied the prisons. I talked to two people yesterday that lived here in Florida when that happened. And when they heard that fellow Cubans were coming here, they ran down to volunteer to be interpreters and to help acclimate the new Cubans. And both the younger person and the older person, after a day or two of working down there, came back very, very depressed and said, I don't know who these people are, but they're not our people. Meaning the Castilian Cubans who were coming here with a good work ethic spoke English, but the prisons were emptied and the communists in Cuba sent hardened criminals into here. And it's exactly what happened in Russia. The KGB opened up the gulags, and the worst criminals, predominantly Jewish, were let loose to become the Red Mafia, the Russian mob, over here in the United States. And the book is just full of their dirty deeds and how they become filthy rich using vice and criminal behavior. And we wonder why our nation looks the way it is. So anyway, Gerchen says here, I read The Red Mafia years ago. Indeed, it was on my bookshelves, but ended up in a garage sale. Once you read it, you remember it. The Red Mafia is made up of the same alien genetic material as the cannibals who tortured the best and brightest of the Goyim, meaning the non-Jews, after the Bolshevik psychopaths took control of the USSR, present-day Russia. The Red Mafia is another of those books which prove that the entity, meaning the Jews, is not human, in my opinion. And it's also opinions shared by the producers of Thayer's Greek Lexicon when discussing the Greek term Judaios, which is translated as Jew or Judean, but predominantly it's translated as Jew in your Bible. Judaios was the word that the Greeks and the apostles used for the people of Judea who were not Israelites, who were not Caucasians. Okay, they called them Judaios, meaning the Judeans, just like the Russians that I just mentioned. Okay, they lived in that land of old Judah, and so therefore they were called Judeans, but they were not of Judah, the tribe. Okay, that's where the confusion comes today in people calling Jews the people of the Bible. They think that term is the same as a Jehudite, or Judaios as well. But it's not, okay? So, the producers of Thayer's Greek Lexicon said that basically John, in his writings, spoke as though he and the Christ and the apostles had nothing in common with the people called Jews, the Judeans or Jews in that area, that not only did they have nothing in common in respects to customs and scripture and the teachings of Messiah, that it was as if the Jews sprang from an alien race, exactly what Gertrude says here in his note to me. So, double witness, sprang from an alien race. You look at these, the demonic behavior of the Russian mob, of the Bolsheviks in Russia, what they did to the Russian people, the people of Ukraine. You look at the way we murdered millions of innocent Germans after the war had already been declared over. We murdered millions of soldiers and sometimes civilians, Germans, after the war was over, and at whose direction? Eisenhower. And what was Eisenhower called in the academy when he was in the military academy? The terrible Swedish Jew. Okay? Who were some of the top people in Eisenhower's administration that had a lot to do with the bombing of cities, bombing of civilians, killing civilians, etc.? Jews. Why? Because that's what they do. That's what they do, okay? Fighting with honor, and again, Friedman in the book, Red Mafia, says that and makes that distinction quite often. The fact that the Jewish mob did not behave as the Italian mob. The Italians had a code of honor. They had ethics. In other words, just because they got into either drugs or prostitution or some of the other so-called criminal behavior to make their money, they weren't thugs and butchers the way the Jew mob is. And he makes the statement in the book that they do not have a sense of right and wrong. And some of the FBI and other criminal investigators that he quotes in the book makes that same statement. These people have no concept of right and wrong. In their minds, the criminal behavior is okay and it's normal. The butchery in torturing and murdering other people is normal. That's actually how they think. And it reminds me of recently there was a Jew on television who had been caught lying. Okay, his statements were 100% false, but his justification in the interview was that in his mind he thought it was true. Therefore, he was not actually lying. Do you see how these people think? Okay, it's just like the Kol Nidre prayer within Judaism. Okay, the Talmudic Jews pray the Kol Nidre prayer every year that allows them to lie under oath. It's part of their religion. It's part of their culture. They would do it even if they didn't say the prayer. But they say the prayer because it makes them feel better. That they actually said out loud, we're going to lie under oath in the next 12 months, and it's okay. So when a Pelosi or Schumer or Lautenberg or any of the Boxer Feinstein crowd get up in front of Congress or take the witness stand or in part of a confirmation hearing in Washington and they lie their ass off, you have to understand, in their world, that's perfectly acceptable. And our people need to wake the hell up to that. That's why many of my elders when I was a boy said, don't do business with Jews. Stay away from them. Don't trust them. Well, they knew. They were closer to World War II back in the 1950s when I was a boy. They were closer to the soldiers coming home and talking about what they saw. Okay, the propagandists want you to make us think the Jews were such punished and downtrodden people in Russia and the Tsar, and they were just terrible, terrible. No, but that's, again, that's what they want you to believe because in their feeble minds, they have constructed that for themselves as a way to justify their criminal behavior. The fact of the matter is that the gulags were full of petty thieves, pickpockets, extortionists, kidnappers, sex slave tradery, things like that. That's who was in the gulags. It wasn't they just rounded people up because they were Jews. But see, in a Jewish mind, you're not supposed to do that. Even in the book, he talks about some of the biggest, richest, multimillionaire, and in a few times, billionaire Jews that are part of the Russian mafia. When our government finally gets around to doing something to them, which is rare, they actually kind of smirk and say, well, it costs a lot of money, but I'll be back, and I'll be back to being a multimillionaire, billionaire very soon. Another criminal enterprise in the interim while they're waiting. It also talks about in the book, time after time after time, the inept federal government not doing a damn thing. And here's why, and he mentions it in the book. when there were honest police officers, typically Caucasian police officers actually did their job and nailed these guys, some politician, some high-ranking official within the government would squash the investigation or choose not to prosecute. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like what's going on with Sessions and then Barr? Okay, that with the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are we not hearing constantly, well, somebody says we're not going to prosecute. Somebody says there's not enough evidence. Somebody says, well, we're not going to go down that path. It would be too disruptive. They're too big to fail, too big to imprison, too big. That's all euphemisms for we don't want to take on the Jewish mob, whether it's the Red Mafia or the Mafia in Washington, D.C., or the Mafia in Hollywood, or the Mafia at the Federal Reserve. They're all run by the same people. So just like the USSR, which he says in the book, and he quotes prominent people saying that Russia was just one great big crime organization, the entire country, because of the Jewish mob, the oligarchs. See, that's another misnomer. They call them the oligarchs. They call them Russian mob. They call them Red Mafia, blah, blah, blah. All instead of calling them what they are, Jews. Okay? And now they want to be able to take people like us and put us in jail or charge us with crimes for pointing out the fact that these are Jews. Does that sound familiar? What did they do in Russia? If you challenge the Jewish version of history or said anything about what the Jews were up to, it was a death sentence in Soviet Russia. Okay? And they actually made it part of their law. Now, the Red Mafia would take you out if you interfered with their stuff. They would take you out anyway. And they killed bankers, government people, inspectors, even foreigners that were in Russia. If you got in their way, they simply killed you. And if it was necessary, they'd kill your whole family. They didn't really care. As long as they get what they want. Does that sound familiar? Look at what's going on in this country. Antifa, the left, you know, always got these names for it, but they're all backed by Jews. It's all Jew rhetoric. It's all Jew planning. It's all financed with Jew money. George Soros, Jew. Rothschild, Jew. Rockefeller, Jew. Chase Manhattan, Jew. Kuhn Loeb, Jew. Pelosi, Jew. Feinstein, Jew. Boxer, Jew. Schumer, Jew. And on and on and on it goes. Adam Schiff, Jew. Okay. Lisa Page, Jew. It's like, what's it take to wake the hell up? That's what I got to understand. But that's why we're talking about solutions. And I like that John Mark, and kudos to John Mark, because he took a snippet out of our broadcast with the discussion between Michael in South Carolina and John Mark and myself. He took a portion of that and put it in his latest YouTube presentation, where he talks about it's time for the winning right, who we are part of, to go to the next step and let's start presenting solutions. Let's start working to building a better model. As we talk about that quote by Buckminster Fuller, where it talks about to change things. Let me see if I can find it here real quick so I don't screw it up. I should probably bold it so I can find it, because I'm talking about it more often. Well, Ralph Waldo Emerson also had a good one here. He said, if a man can write a better book, preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods, the world will make a beaten path to his door. And there's a lot of versions of that where they just shorten it to, if you build a better mousetrap, the world will be the path to your door to get it. Same idea. And then Richard Buckminster Fuller said, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And that's what we're talking about. Build a new model. Okay, this model's failed. Whether you're a Trump supporter or not, this model's failed. Okay, it needs to be dumped, trashed, gotten away, done away with, exactly as the Constitution says is our right and our duty, believe it or not. It is our right and our duty to alter, reform, or abolish said form of government if it ceases to provide for the things that we instituted this government. You got to remember, all the founding fathers, and even the Constitution talks about the fact that all power is inherent in the people. That's you and me, the people, the indigenous people, as John Jay said. Who are the indigenous people? The homogeneous Caucasian race that founded this country. That's what he's talking about. We have the power. Not the invaders, not the interlopers in Washington. They're all committing treason. All of them are committing treason because they have violated the oath of office, which is the contract between our public servants and ourselves. Once you violate that, you're now operating under the color of law. We don't actually have lawful government. That's why there's so much chaos and so much consternation in the country today, because you have interlopers pretending to be watching out for, let's say, crime and looking out for the economy and trade deals, blah, 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 as if it's being done for us, okay? But it's under the color of law. There is no lawful government. Once you break the contract, it's as if the contract had never been written, okay? So we are without a formal federal government. We are back to sovereign states. We don't have to do anything. People say, well, we need to start a... No, we don't have to make a movement. We're already sovereign states. We've always been sovereign states. In fact, one of my new acquaintances, a fellow up in Minnesota by the name of Jim, pointed it out to me in a discussion we were having yesterday. He goes, Dan, if I commit a crime in, say, Pennsylvania, and I go to down to Virginia, he goes, what do the state, the people in Pennsylvania say to the people in Virginia? They want them to extradite. Okay, extradite means what? Send the criminal back to the original state to stand trial. He said, extradition is between countries, not states. There should be no extradition needed if we're all just one great big reservation under the dictates of Washington, D.C., and there's no sovereignty. You wouldn't need extradition. You see what I'm saying? So even in their own way, the current administrations and law enforcement is honoring the principle that each state in this country never gave up their sovereignty. Not under consent, anyway. Not with consent. So extradition shows that they understand each state is still sovereign. We just have to have constitutional governors. Now, most of the governors are corrupt. Most of the governors are being blackmailed, or they've got dirt on them in one way or another. Most of them, okay? Most of them are not going to buck the system or rock the boat. They're going to go along to get along. That's typical. So we need governors who understand the founding fathers and the principles of liberty and the sovereign nature of our nation states. We should start calling ourselves nation states because we are sovereign nations. I was also informed by another gentleman yesterday that Oklahoma, I think it's Oklahoma, Utah, Texas, and a few other states, there's actually a new movement to declare their sovereignty and breaking away. In fact, one of the states just passed legislation that basically says that. We are now making it public that Washington, D.C. has no power in our state. So FBI, CIA, IRS, coming out of Washington to the people of those states, they will be treated as criminals because they are persona non grata in those states. which is exactly what should happen. Constitutional sheriffs and the governor should put out general warrants for any federal person. Any person representing the federal government found in their state should be arrested on spot. On the spot, arrested. And charged as if they were spies. They should be charged as spies coming in to harass the people of the sovereign state. And a lot of people say, well, that'll never happen. Well, you know, we never, 10, 15 years ago, people laughed when we talked about coups and military coups. And what are we dealing with? What's in the news every day now? What, every day. 15 years ago, they laughed when we first brought up the subject of a coup. Okay, guess what? Nobody's laughing now. You're in the middle of it. It's a soft coup with only the right shedding blood at the moment. That's not going to stay that way. That's just a matter of historical fact. So we do have a dichotomy in this nation, and it's just going to keep getting worse. But we need to retake our sovereignty. Reestablish. It's already there. We just have been ignorant of it. And we've been sold this bill of goods that there's two parties and you have to pick somebody. The party system is a failure. It needs to be outlawed. Lobbying should be outlawed. Political action committees outlawed, etc. And John Mark and Kurt Doolittle are forming a new constitution. Most of it's Kurt Doolittle. John Mark, of course, is a spokesman for propertarianism. They do an excellent job. But we have a new constitution being written. And like he said, if this one fails, we have to step in. And it's going to fail. It's in. You're watching the final death throes of this current financial system and even government. Okay, it's outlived its usefulness. It's so corrupt. It has not even a semblance of what the founding fathers started. Not even a semblance. You look at the pictures and the TV videos of people in Washington that are part of this whole swamp thing. How many of them are white men of Protestant faith? Meaning non-Catholic. How many non-Catholic white men of faith do you see represented in Washington? And for that matter, in probably most of your state governments. How many of those men, because the founding fathers said that those are the guys, as John Jay described in Federalist Paper Number 2, those are the guys who founded the country. And those were the guys who were supposed to cast ballots in elections. Those were the guys who were supposed to sit in jury boxes. Those were the guys that could hold public office. Nobody else. Why? Because that's our job. We men maintain law and order. Who was put on earth to maintain the garden? Adam. Take note as you read your Bible. There's no Eve present. Okay? And again, you know, well, Dan, are you anti-woman? No, I'm not anti-woman. I'm anti-lies. I'm anti-what doesn't work. And I want to see us get back to the Father's law. Okay? That's my whole purpose in life. Let's get back to our Heavenly Father and His law, which is a perfect law. It works. The Founding Fathers in America were establishing this country along the biblical law. And guess what? Turned into the most blessed nation ever. But as we walked away from that formula under heavy Edomite Bolshevik Jew influence, because some of our Founding Fathers caved into the bribery of money, which is the way the Jew always gains access, through the back door with bags of money, until you find out that they have no intentions of coexisting. They are there to take over. Just as the Russian government was taken over by the Jewish oligarchs, okay, and the criminals. even our State Department and federal people said Russia's just a great big crime organization. Well, the United States isn't any different. It's not any different. You keep seeing these, well, how come Las Vegas still hasn't been, you know, the truth been told and culprits happening? How come 9/11 truth hasn't come out? How come the USS Liberty's not talked about? How come the media never talks about Jews? Why are we not allowed to talk about Jews? It's because you're living in a crime factory too. It's organized crime here. Who the hell founded organized crime in America? People say it was the Italian mob. No, it wasn't. They came later. Meyer Lansky is a Jew. Mo Green is a Jew. Cohen, Jew. Al Capone, Jew. Okay? They're not. They worked with the Italians in some of their enterprises, but the Italian Cosa Nostra was not the Red Mafia. They're not. They're separate. They operated separately. Their code of conduct was separate. And again, you know, I have known people in the past that were part of the Italian actual Cosa Nostra or Mafia. And they told me about their meetings that they attended and the fact that they, just as the author Friedman says in Red Mafia, the book, the Italians, the real Italians, had a code of conduct, a code of honor, so to speak. And he quite appropriately says that the Jewish mafia has no code of honor whatsoever. In fact, they have a code of honor that goes the other way. You're more respected the more brutal you are, the more bloodthirsty you are, the more torture that you can do, the more people who are afraid of you, just like the Bolsheviks did to the Russian Christian men, women, and children that they butchered, literally butchered. They didn't just kill them. They butchered them, nailed them to the sides of barns in their homes, typically the husband, while they raped the children, the female children and the wife, and then they would strangle and or mutilate them in front of them, and then the last person to die was the husband after he got to witness his family being butchered. Okay, that's the kind of mentality you're talking about here, okay? So people that think that there's compromise with the left, the Bolsheviks, no. This is for all the marbles, people. That's why they're making their big push. That's why they're even exposing themselves for the demonic individuals that they are, possessed, Satan-possessed. Because this is it. This is what Scripture talks about when Satan and his kids realized that their time is short, and it is short. That's what we men are here for. Their time is short. Their anger would be, what? Great. And what's it say about the dragon? He will take as many down with him as he can. What are they doing right now? Trying to destroy everything that's even remotely honest, conservative, Christian. Followers of the Christ, we should call it that way. Followers of the Christ. Okay? It's not a big mystery here. You can put the pieces together. Now, another note I got from a new listener in New York, of all places, which, according to Friedman in the book, particularly New York City, but even New York itself, but New York City is a mecca for organized crime, Jewish organized crime. And Brighton Beach is their, like, major headquarters. Unfortunately, Miami is like city number two for the mob. And who is predominantly in Southeast Florida? Jews. The Parkman fake staged event, the Parkman shooting, was done in what county? Yeah, heavily Jewish. Who was the sheriff involved? Israel. Jewish. Okay. It's just like, who can't see this now? I don't understand it. But I see you there, Mike. I'll get you in just a sec. But this is from Tommy. He says, greetings, Pastor Dan. Praise the Father in the name of Yahshua. I listened to your call with John Mark and the Civil War call. I've been following this for a long time. I have that gut feeling things will get very bad soon, like before 2020. I love how you bluntly state the real truth of the Bible, that Christian men are the firewall to stop tyranny. Yahweh the Father has bestowed the natural rights of us, or for us, for many reasons. Corruption only exists, in my opinion, because we, like fools, let a few, quote, government enforcers to deal with corruption, which is the largest mistake any people can do and have many times. The Founding Fathers understood that the militia are the law enforcement of the land to keep it free. Hallelujah. Amen to that. I'd love to chime in on your show and don't know when or where to call in. Thank you, Pastor, and may Yahweh, the Lord, in the name of Jesus, Yahshua, protect you and all the patriots. I did contact him, by the way, and gave him the information on calling into the show and invited him to call in today, as a matter of fact, if he wants to. But these are the kind of things that we're getting that show that there is a wake-up going on. There is a desire for something better than what the hell we have now. And so let me trying to figure out how this stuff works. Can you hear me, Mike?
I can, sir. How are you?
Ah, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. You know, I'm really glad that you brought up the Federalist Papers. I know you've mentioned it a lot of, you know, on many programs. But when you think about it, what are we doing right now with this program and the discussions with John Mark and what Kurt Doolittle and, you know, his group do? The Federalist Papers were discussions amongst the founders and the others who were involved in the creation of the Constitution, which was merely just an iteration of, okay, here's the new nation that we're going to form and why, and the type of government, exactly the powers it's going to have, and more specifically, what we don't want it to be able to do. Well, what we're doing on this program and a lot of other mostly radical right-wing organizations, we talk about, well, this is where there were holes in the Constitution, if people will even admit it. Some people worship it. And then say, okay, this is what went wrong. So when we on this program and other shows, whether it's TV news or what have you, say that brilliant Thomas Jefferson quote about, hey, it's the duty of white Christian men to throw off such government if it doesn't meet the needs of the people. Well, that doesn't mean that we want people hung up and murdered. We don't want a bloody revolution. All we're saying is, hey, can't we all agree that this system that we've implemented is not fulfilling the purpose for which it was created? It doesn't mean that we want to run through the streets with shotguns and killing people and, you know, have anarchy and chaos. It doesn't mean that. And that's what the Jew in their media outlets tries to portray us as, you know, anarchists who just want, you know, bloody hell to go on, when they're the ones who actually want the bloody hell to take place. So for anybody who hears this and shudders when they think, oh, well, what do you mean you're going to overthrow the government? Look at the government that our founders set up. Adam-kind men, Christian, Caucasian, white, whatever you want to call us, men set up a government by which biblical law was put into a codex by which all men of our kind, meaning this was for a homogeneous population of European Christian people, where we could all say, yeah, this is what we agree is going to be the way that we'll run our government. Well, as we discussed in that program, Dan, you know, a couple weeks ago, one of the biggest holes in our Constitution is defining the term, we the people. Who are the people? Well, as you look back in the oldest writings, probably, of our people, the Vedic text, where the writers said, where are the people? there are plenty of bipedal creatures running around our civilization, but where are the people? That's evidence right there that everybody who stands on the dirt in that country doesn't happen to be the people. Therefore, the laws and the protections for those laws don't apply. It only applies to us, the homogeneous population, the founding stock of this country. So, as the Bible tells us, as our Father told us and warned us, don't let foreigners come in and change your laws and the ways that you think and speak and behave, because it'll mean doom for you, for your kind. But have we listened to them? Have we listened to our Father and the prophets? No. So I'm glad you bring up the Federalist Papers, because, again, just to wrap up that point, that's kind of what we're doing here now. We are rationalizing why we need a new government and why it doesn't really need to be new. We just need to do the one we should have had in the first place, which is Father's laws.
Amen. Right. Well, even William Blackstone said it, and our founders agreed with it, that any law that runs counter to God's law is no law at all. So it was very clear that even in his day, Blackstone, how they felt about it in England, and as subjects to the crown, our colonies were built upon the same principle. You can't make law. And the Bible says the exact same thing in Isaiah 33, verse 22. He is our lawgiver. Okay, there is no law outside of God's law. Okay, man does not have the right to create new law. So a baby's right to life is a inalienable right, meaning coming from God. Nobody can legislate it away. So, you know, you're right. I think the whole idea of proprietarianism and law of reciprocity is just a secular way of saying what the biblical law says. They're both saying the same things. It's just one's mm-hmm. coming from the idea of what works in a secular way and what doesn't work. But we know that what works comes from Scripture, because that's where the Creator who put us here gave us the law, as he says in the book itself. My burden is a light burden, okay, and it's for your own good. My law gives life, so choose my law and life, or choose death.
That's right.
It's just like our people. I was talking to some older people the other day, and they were talking about Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, which, of course, when you get people in their mid-60s and older, that's all they talk about pretty much. And they were asking me some questions about, you know, when such and such rates come in and how much does it cost. And I said, I really don't care. I don't look into that. And they said, why not? I said, because I've never had health insurance, and I don't want their health insurance, because it's all predicated on using the hospital system. I said, the last place on earth I ever want to be found is in a hospital, even if I'm not feeling good. I don't want to be in a hospital. Well, what are you going to do when you get older and you have problems? I said, I'll die. I said, that's okay. I'm okay with that. I understand life has an end, but I'm not going to subject myself to their barbarism, to where when I go in there, I don't have my clothes, I don't have my liberty, I can't even actually dictate how I'm to be treated or what's to be done to me. They say, well, we're not going to do anything without your permission, but you're hostage. And now they've even got precedents set to where if they've got two or three doctors that think you need to have your arm taken off, and you're going, well, why don't I go home and try to beat this net? Oh, no, no, no. Well, then you must be mental. And so we're going to make the decision for you because you're mentally incapacitated. They actually try to pull that kind of crap nowadays. It's just like getting Social Security numbers on babies. They don't even ask anymore. It's like circumcising boys. They don't even ask anymore. They just go in and do it.
And when they want to do something to a child in a hospital or even a general practitioner's office, if you even put up any kind of resistance, they try to get the children taken away from you.
Right.
Because they say, well, this person must be crazy, they don't want the state and a medical professional, an expert, to administer treatment to this child. You're endangering this child, when we know for a fact that, and these are just the reported statistics, that 750,000 people admittedly die in hospitals every year due to either nurse or other orderly or doctor mistake. So, and if those are the numbers they're admitting, you know they're going to be a lot higher than that. So
right,
if there are if there's 350 million people in this country, legal or not, and one out of every, 100 or 200 is dying at the hands of a doctor, I mean, I would stay away from them. Here's the other scary thing, Dan. Look how the Jew also uses Hollywood to brainwash us between movies and TV and what have you. How many times have people seen on a movie or a TV show a family comes in to see their loved one who's in the hospital, and all of the nurses and orderlies and doctors order them around and tell them what if they're allowed to see their child in a hospital?
Right.
Or, oh, no, you're going to have to leave. Visiting hours are over. Well, who the hell are you to tell me whether I'm allowed? You're providing a service for me and my family. I'm the customer here. I'm the paying customer. You're going to tell me that I'm not allowed to stay here with my child? But then they'll show you dogs now. They allow dogs, a filthy animal, in a hospital.
Oh, yeah.
But you're not allowed to be in a hospital, especially if you're a man. And if you speak up, they say, oh, well, you must be sick. Inject him with something because he's just too emotional. I mean, it's just the level of control that these people just exert over our lives is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we allow it.
Yeah, the dictionary actually has a word for what you're describing. It's iatrogenic. I-A-T-R-O-G-E-N-I-C. Iatrogenic, and this dictionary says, induced by a physician's words or therapy, parentheses, used especially of a complication resulting from treatment. Yeah, that complication that iatrogenic's talking about is called death. Okay, so this dictionary softens it up with, well, they're talking about a complication resulting from either bad medicine or bad diagnosis. That's a euphemistic way in trying to hide what it's really talking about, which is death by doctor. And I've had people in the medical profession straighten me out on this. So these aren't my words. They basically said iatrogenic is talking about you died because of wrong dose, wrong medicine. And I saw it happen with my son in the hospital, so I know it happens. If I wasn't sleeping in the room with him that night, I probably would have lost my youngest son because the nurse had put the wrong numbers into his feeding, the machine that was feeding him his liquid protein and nourishment, and he ran out. It was supposed to be a constant drip. And the machine ran out at 3 o'clock in the morning, which means that there's hardly anybody keeping an eye on him. And he went into diabetic shock because his blood sugar dropped down to 30-some points, which anybody that knows, that's dangerous. That's life-threatening. Okay, all because somebody just put the wrong digits into a little digital monitor that meters how fast this liquid is being pumped into his body. So, I know it happens, and I talk to the nurses, and let me tell you, I have a high respect for nurses because most nurses I talk to understand the difference between allopathic and naturopathic, and many of them actually quit allopathic medicine to go into naturopathic. When I went to the classes, I would say at least 33% of the students in these classes for natural health, 33% were former doctors or nurses, primarily nurses. Doctors spend too much money and they need to make too much money to walk away from it. So they're less likely to do it, whereas a nurse typically doesn't have that much financially at stake and is more willing to do it. And some of the nurses said that they got they went to the classes to learn that. They didn't give up their nursing, but they wanted to add to their knowledge level what was being taught in these classes so that they could do a better job for their patients. It's much like the surgeon, it was an Asian guy, told my son when he had irritable bowel problems that, a little toke on a marijuana cigarette would actually do you some good. He goes, no, nothing more than just a puff to help relax the intestines. He goes, I can't tell you that officially, but man to man, off the record, I'm telling you that if you have access to it, if you did that daily, it would help your intestines and help your condition. So, you know, how did we get to the point where everything is so controlled, Mike? I mean, whether we're talking medicine, education, your property now, I mean, look at these HOAs and different things that they want to tell you what color to put your shutters, what color your shutters have to be, what if you paint your driveway, whether you're allowed to, and what colors. And everything in our lives is dictated by some bureaucrat or outside entity. What happened to the Viking spirit?
It is a sickness, Dan, and I think of it this way. Like, I love my mother. I mean, my mother is just an amazing woman. She worked in government for 30 years. And whenever I would ask her things, you know, as a little kid, I would say, well, why do we have to do it? Well, because it's on paper. It's a law. Look at the documents. And I'm like, I've always thought, you know, in my entire life, well, any person could write stuff on a piece of paper and put a signature to it, and they could have a fancy letterhead on it and, you know, say it's from such and such office. But does anybody actually read the words that are on the paper? And do they ever say to themselves, well, I don't care if it was, you know, engraved in stone. A lot of tyrants have engraved things in stone or silver or gold. It doesn't mean you have to do it. And as you mentioned, you know, no unjust law need be obeyed. That's the sickness. And that's the sorcery of the Jew. If you look at what the description of the adversary is, he was somebody who was good with words and could convince, and actually what was done to Eve in the garden was a seduction. Well, we've been seduced as a people into believing that, well, if something's on paper, especially if it's fancy paper and signed by a lot of people with important names, well, I guess we have to do it. Well, if you go into an office, a doctor's office, and you see a fancy bunch of degrees up there, and he's got a white lab coat on, well, that's what we've been brainwashed and trained into thinking from television and, you know, even ancient times. If these, you know, disgusting Pharisees and scribes had a fancy enough, you know, costume on, or that, like the Pope today, oh, well, he must be important. Look at him. We better do what they say. This is the trusting aspect of our character, of our people collectively. Oh, well, they're an expert. I mean, if you look at the writings of people like Aldous Huxley and his brother and a lot of these Illuminati, you know, types, CFR, Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Lord Alfred Milner Group, they know this about us. That's why they start all these tax-exempt foundations, to study us so that they can see what kind of BS can we pull on them and will they go along with it. Well, you think it's for our good that they set up these tax-free foundations and study psychiatry and sociology and psychology and do all these medical tests on us? No. It's to see what they can do to manage the herd, us. They consider us useless eaters, the great unwashed. What does the Jew call us? The goy, the cattle. So the cattle will go along with these things as long as enough experts with enough fancy degrees say this. Do you know how many people in my office that I work with have asked me if you know, well, what do you eat, or what do you think about this, or, you know, hey, have you gotten good results with this? If I give any opinion, they say, oh, well, what, you don't have a degree in that. How dare you say that? we've been so, right? How many times have you heard that, right? Well, yeah. You're not a doctor.
Oh.
You're not a doctor. Or you're yep. not a lawyer. How do you know that?
Boy, I've heard that more times than I care to recount.
Right. So it's just crazy. It's crazy to think that, you know, our people, if you used to say, oh, I'm from the government, they'd run the other direction. Or if, you know, I'm a doctor or I'm a lawyer, they'd run in the opposite direction or slam the door in your face. Because the instinct was, I'm not going to trust these people because the only thing that ever happens is bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's a... Well, it reminds me, I was just trying to find the verse. I don't have it on the top of my head here, but there's a verse that says that I will use the unlearned to confound the wise. And that's just a biblical way of saying, in modern terms, I will use people without credentials to completely confound and confuse those that have all kinds of alphabet letters after their name, PhD, MS, whatever. Okay, and that's exactly what's happened. In fact, I can recall a specific discussion with an Italian lady. She's traveled the world. She's written 16 books. She has a doctorate degree, PhD. And she even said in the conversation, you confound me with the things that you're saying. And she meant it in a complimentary way. This was not a negative discussion. And I said to her, I says, well, wait a minute, you've got a PhD, you've traveled, you've written books, and you've done all these articles, and you're invited to speaking events, et cetera, et cetera. How the hell could I confound you? She goes, I can't explain it. She goes, I'm just telling you that I know what you're saying is true, and I want to learn more, but, and the whole time we're talking, again, not to blow my, to blow my own horn in this, but just to show that Scripture's true. That verse kept going through my head as we were talking. His truth supplants the fake knowledge that's being passed on to people in the education system today. They're building up people with credentials, but they actually don't know anything. Good case in point, I'm reading a couple books written by scholarly people with degrees who have come to a knowledge and have left atheism, because that's what they were, and now they are believers. One is a research scientist that studies the workings of the cell and DNA and RNA within the cell. The other one was an investigator who just went out and decided he was going to interview all of the top physicists and biochemists and archaeologists and cosmologists and get their take on it, because he wanted to prove evolution. He wanted to prove there is no God. And in the end, he had to come to the conclusion that the people in the column for atheism and evolution don't have a leg to stand on. And when you read his book, you sit in there scratching your head. These people are acknowledged academics, and their theories and their discussion on how the world looks and the cosmos works and all this stuff and how we got here, it sounds like something a kindergarten student would come up with. That's what goes through my mind as I'm reading the book. I'm going, wait a minute, you know, and like you said, we're conditioned that when the cabal, the deep state, or the Bolsheviks march somebody in front of the TV screen to tell us what to think, we just automatically sit there and accept it as soon as they put any kind of credentials after the name, or the media calls them a, quote, expert. But here's the funny thing. How many times have we found out the Jews have gotten away with this kind of brainwashing for so long, they now... just put an actor. This person doesn't even have the degree. He's an actor, just like Neil deGrasse Tyson, okay? He's not an astrophysicist. He's an actor, just like the guy Nye that's supposed to tell us all about.
As Bill Nye, the science guy.
Exactly. Dan. They're actors. They're actors, people. They don't have an education in that field. They're actors. Look at the guy that was on, I believe, Fox News for years as a former CIA person, and he's giving expert testimony to the audience of Fox News about the intelligence community and how it works. They found out he was never in the intelligence agencies. Never. Didn't spend one day as a member of American intelligence, and yet Fox News was putting him out there and telling us this guy was going to give expert commentary on what's going on. Do you see how it's just over and over and over again? Same stuff.
It is. Well, they're these multi-million-dollar TV sets, meaning the set, you know, the backdrop, the green screen, the, you know, the people with perfect teeth and hair and $10,000 suits. And you ever notice how much leg they show on these women on Fox News? I mean, it's just all show. It's showmanship. It's just like Marshall McLuhan said. He said it is the medium, meaning the method by which the information is transmitted. That's what the real message is. If you and I were to put together, you know, if we were wearing a rag, standing on a corner, standing on a soapbox, saying the exact same things that these people on Fox News were saying on a multi-million-dollar TV station on a set broadcast around the world, people would call us nuts and lock us up. But they're the experts on Fox News. Look at them. They must be experts. They have such nice teeth. You know, it's just, we're stupid. Yeah. We're stupid. You know, we're stupid. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, Neil deGrasse Tyson has all these degrees, and if he just says enough, I mean, it's nonsense. If he spins the nonsense long enough and throws in a little bit of truth in there, well, it's on the Science Channel or it's on Nickelodeon. They wouldn't teach this to our kids if it wasn't true. I mean,
yeah.
This strong delusion. I mean, we literally believe in fables. If the creator of the universe tells you we live on a flat earth, and terms like firmament and, you know, the waters above the waters and the waters below the waters, but below the firmament. If you say this to the average person on the street, even though this is what the creator told us in his instruction book, we could prove it. And I think I sent you the video, Dan, on that most recent video about flat earth. Bill Nye even admits, he says, no, we live in an enclosed system. Nobody's going to the moon and nobody went to the moon. Hello? Even their actor, their paid actor, their paid, ventriloquist dummy says it. You know, we just want to believe that we have experts that are minding the shop and controlling all these areas of our lives so that we don't have to worry about it, so that we can just worry about entertainment and beer and pizza and the NFL and collecting shiny things. Let experts handle that stuff. We don't need to know that.
You're right. It's a form of laziness, I call it. Our people, that's why they go to churches, okay, because they don't actually want to pick up the book and read it for themselves and take the time like you've done and I've done over the years. Yeah, it costs a lot of hours and a lot of money to buy the different lexicons and all that, but doesn't the scripture even say it's the glory of Yahweh to hide a matter and the honor of kings to search it out? Okay, so even kings are supposed to have to search it out, because it's the Socratic method, so to speak. Colonel Potter talks about that. In other words, the Father could just give it to you in plain English, but then you're going to forget it. It's going to go in one ear and out the other, or it'll go in your eyes and right out the back of your head. You have to do a little digging, because in the digging, you take ownership of the knowledge. You worked for it, and your retention level will be that much higher. So Father has a purpose for every single thing he did. That's why he said, learn this as a team. Work together as a family and learn my message line upon line, precept upon precept, which is exactly what we're doing. That's why I'm glad you brought that up, Mike. We are performing the duty with this discussion exactly what the Founding Fathers did when they produced the Federalist Papers. We are trying to get the information out there, get the dialogue started, and get the brains starting to focus in on a certain way, because that's where we have to go. We have to build a new model. We have to have a system that will work to implement when this one crashes and burns. And that's exactly what this thing's getting ready to do, crash and burn. Would you agree?
I do agree, yeah. And because I went to the public pool system, I didn't get the lessons about our history, especially the history of this country and its founding, because we didn't really study the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. If you just look at the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence in a vacuum, you really don't understand the many weeks and months and years that these people went into this. Imagine doing all this, by the way, without electronic means to communicate. They would actually take out a quill and ink well, and they would write things out on parchment and send them back and forth to each other. They really put their hearts and souls into attempting to develop a system by which our people, as John Mark so eloquently says, will not have to go through this again. And again, there were holes in it. But even with all the holes that there were, because we had a homogeneous population in this country with a basically unified worldview. Never a utopia, never perfect, but look at the successes that the nation had, because we were a real nation. We weren't just a line drawn on a map. We were a people. And the people had a common theme about the way that they thought that the world should be and how the government should be run. And that's why those Federalist Papers are so important. It gives you the backdrop. It gives you all the drama and all the questioning and all the little squabbles that went back and forth about how this government should be crafted so that it would be a righteous biblical form of government, so that we wouldn't have tyranny, so that we would have our rights and our lives and our property protected. Think of it. Think of all that backdrop, and then look at what we have today.
Yeah, well,
Dan, it's just sad.
Yeah, we live under a kakistocracy, and part of the reason it is a kakistocracy because it's no longer homogeneous. And I want to point out something to you, all you as I've heard them called, Trump-tards, much like libtards. I just had the thought jump out of my head. Oh my gosh, I apologize. Yep, just jumped that right out of there. So sorry about that.
Well, if I could fill it in. No, I was going to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
What we hear all the time from Donald Trump, and I hope this is where you were going, especially when he does the State of the Union address, all he talks about is everyone but us.
Exactly.
All he cares about is the black unemployment rate has gone down, the Asian unemployment rate has gone down, the African American single unwed mother of seven unemployment rate has gone down. That he cares about everybody but Adam kind men.
Right. Exactly.
And what does that tell you? What does it tell you? When the President of the United States, who is most controlled by the Jew of any president we've ever had, does it surprise you that you were stabbed in the back, Adam Kindman? And I know that there's a lot of Trump worshipers out there, but when you get sold a bill of goods that we're going to make America great again, well, wait a second. When was America great? America was great when it was mostly Caucasian. All, I mean, like 95%+. There's a direct correlation between the level of prosperity, the absence of debt as a people, peace, every measure by which you could say a civilization was successful, we had it when it was the whitest and the most Christian. Well, same thing can be said today. You were told that by a guy who was running for office that we're going to make America great again. Well, what does that mean to a guy like me? Well, we're going to get the nation back to what were the fundamental principles that made it great, which means, hey, we're going to put laws in place that allow mothers to stay home and take care of children. Oh, and gee, really? Heaven forbid we had good old-fashioned families again where one man working a decent manufacturing job could provide enough for a family where the mother could stay home and take care of the kids. You could have a house. You could have a car. You could eat really well, and everybody would dress well, not like a bunch of hobos today. And you had a family that would go to church together and honored, you know, mom and dad. And this is the kind of stuff that gets picked on in the Jew media today. Yet when we talk about making America great again, that's what guys like you and I think of, having a nation that doesn't attack countries that have done nothing to us, nothing, spending trillions of dollars on military bases around the world to control, you know, other peoples when we're not allowed to protect our own borders. So a lot of people could say, well, maybe he didn't lie, but what he thinks making America great again is very different than what I think it is. Putting the Jew in full control of every aspect of our lives is the opposite of making America great again.
Yep. Amen to that. Absolutely. Well, in addition to that, I think part of the point I was going to try to make is that, you know, they've got us all focusing on Trump as if he's a messiah and a savior, and you know, if it weren't for him, we'd be sunk. And I keep reminding people, put yourself in your enemy's position. Okay, these people are criminal geniuses. Okay, psychology were founded by Sigmund Freud, another Bolshevik Jew. So they're sitting there figuring out and watching the indicators, okay? As they put Trump out there, that was kind of like a test. Let's see what happens. Put him out there and see what happens. Because they knew the hatred from the people that have any kind of conservatism or faith-based values detest Hillary, okay? They know she's a witch and she's a murderer, okay? So that they know. So they put him out there to see, well, how many people in America still have any kind of patriotism, have any kind of conservative values? And they were shocked to find out that there's a whole lot, and it's predominantly the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. And it still measures almost half of the country, maybe a little over half. And that astounded them, especially when they showed signs of coming out of their easy chairs and loading up their carbine rifles. So if you're sitting there and you're the despotic Bolshevik Jew who wants to overthrow America, you know you have armed revolution if Hillary gets in there. So what about this guy Trump? Well, he's one of us, but he doesn't appear to be one of us because he's a businessman, and yet he does business down in Manhattan. As I read the book Red Mafia, some of the biggest, wealthiest Jewish Russian mobsters had apartments in Trump Tower. Okay, that's he says that right there in the book. So on the outside, he appears to be not part of the swamp. So we let him go up there and say what everybody's thinking. Get everybody on board. He'll flush out the Patriots, but the whole time, business as usual goes on in Washington. Business as usual goes in the billions of dollars taken out of the American taxpayer and sent overseas to the mobsters in Russia and the mobsters in Israel. That organized crime isn't just in Russia. It goes to Israel, it goes to London, it goes to Italy, it goes all through Europe. These are gangsters, okay? It's the gangsters who run the Federal Reserve. It's the gangsters who run the deep state in Washington, D.C. And so if you're the enemy, you're saying, if Hillary's the one choice, I've got armed revolution I'm going to have to deal with now. If we put Trump in there and let him have it, he'll tell them what they want to hear. He'll appoint people that on the outside will make them think that they're going to do something. But in reality, nothing changes. But he buys us 4 more years to get ready. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. It was a smokescreen. It was a delay tactic. It was, hey, give them somebody that will keep them quiet for a little while we get the rest of our plan implemented. And it's worked. It's worked. It's worked really well. And, you know, I think I mentioned this on another program, Dan, but when I looked at this one rally in Louisiana, where you look in the back of Trump as he's speaking and he brings all these guys up on stage, I mean, I felt like I needed to take a shower after just watching these characters that he brought up, because they just kept repeating everything that Trump was saying. And then you look at the crowd behind Trump. Nobody that looks like us was up there, or very few. And I'm saying, well, what is the purpose of that? Why is Fox News doing that? I don't know. I mean, what do you think? What's the purpose of putting such a multicultural group up behind Trump at what's supposed to be a conservative rally? I mean, is that supposed to demean us and degrade us and make us think, well, even in your movement, people, you're out. You're not included anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's rubbing the white man's nose in it. They get a sexual high, these demonic creatures, when they do that. Because we're Adam kind, okay? We are the children of Jacob. And the Esau Edomites were not able to supplant Jacob, even though they attempted to do so many, many centuries ago. And so they're still angry about that, okay? They cannot take over our position as the chosen of the Most High. They can't do that. But they can get us to pollute ourselves, and that's what they're busy about doing, with the hopes that so many of us will pollute ourselves that the Father will finally say, I'm done with you all. So, I mean, that's the look at the Samson option, okay? People can't understand this stuff because they don't think like Jews, okay? You have to be taught, because they don't think like human people, regular people, mankind. They're not. Just as the Apostle John said, it's as if they sprang from an alien race, something beyond this world that we live in, and they do. Even Friedman talks about it with the Red Mafia. They don't act like the rest of us. In their minds, they're painting a completely different picture, and they're not going to behave the way we behave, and we have to understand that. And the way they talk and the way they do things is completely counter to our way of doing things. And we just have to become aware of that. You know, when they lie, what did Christ say? When they lie, they speak their own language. There have been liars and deceivers and murderers from day one.
Yeah. You know what you just made me think of? I heard a really great podcast talking about health and the body, and this is, I think it dovetails perfectly, because I think the Father tries to show us with either health and wellness with the body, or the opposite side of the coin, sickness, disease, pain, suffering. That's an analogy for our people in general, our society, our civilization. The Father tells us things to do to keep our individual bodies healthy, but if you think about it, He's telling us to do the same thing with our people and our civilization. For example, keeping out the unclean thing. What does He tell us? Be ye separate. Live with your own people. These are the people who are clean to be with and touch and marry and have children with. Thus the commandment. Well, He does the same thing with the body. He says, don't bring these unclean things into your body because your body will get taken over by a parasite. Well, I just heard a really great podcast by guys that study a lot into homeopathic and naturopathic medicine. They're saying these brilliant Russian doctors have proven that the human body creates photons, energy. These guys are quantum physicists. And they're saying the real nature of any virus that invades the human body is it is a parasite that saps the life of the body by stealing its ability to create energy. It steals the body's ability to create these photons. I'm sorry I went on this tangent, but it's applicable because this is what the Father is trying to tell us. Don't let the Jew or any other foreigner come into your civilization and take over because he will sap the life out of you. He will literally drain your ability to live. These are the warnings that we get, and what a surprise that science is bearing this stuff out. It's proving that, yes, there's a creator, and he gave us instructions and said, do these things, both for your individual body, for your family, and your civilization, because if you don't, these things will all become sick at one level or another.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. In fact, it's interesting that you you mentioned that because there's a book written by Greg Felton called The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. And that was written in 2010. So right there again, see, this information has been out there. It's not like it's esoteric and, you know, you got to be part of some kind of a cult and go through rituals to be enlightened and brought up to speed. You just have to get past the brainwashing, folks. There are plenty of people, and we've interviewed a lot of them over the years on this program. Trading on Guilt was written by an educator from New England who lives down in the Orlando area now, but he's an atheist, but he wrote an entire book about the Jewish takeover of education and how much he resented it because he was a true academic and wanted to, you know, see children learn how to think and expose them to all kinds. And he goes, it was just always squashed because the Jews had an agenda and they kept pushing it on the educators. And now this Greg Felton has The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column. Fifth Column just means people out of sight, below the radar, much like the Red Mafia works, according to Friedman. Same thing. The Jewish Fifth Column, always hiding under names like Russian Mafia, oligarchs, cabal, deep state, secret executive service. And you look at the heads of big tech, okay? They're being exposed by that professor from New York College, New York City College, who retired, and the left turned on him because he said something remotely conservative. But that opened his eyes, and now he's written a book as well about how these Bolsheviks work like a fifth column surreptitiously in our country to undermine everything about us. That
well, what is the Mossad's motto? The Mossad's motto is exactly that. We will wage war via deception.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what this is. They don't stand there and say, okay, let's fight. They infiltrate. They poison. They parasite. They twist. They lie. They corrupt. this has been a very, very effective method. Let's be honest. Nobody says these are stupid people. They're actually pretty brilliant in many ways. But their flaw, the chink in their armor, is their chutzpah, their hubris, their arrogance. They believe so much in their own abilities that they've gone too far. And it's amazing. Even Bibi Netanyahu is saying to people, come home. Maybe he's seeing now. He wants the best and the brightest of the Jew to come back to Israel now because they're ready to pull the lever with their final, you know, their final push. Look at the speech that he gave in front of the United Nations, where he had this long 45-second pregnant pause where he was talking about the real source of power is the cyberspace. Well, look at our economy. How many times have you gone into a store of any kind and you try to buy something, let's say with your debit card, or even if you want to pay with cash? They say, well, the checkout lady at the counter or the guy will say, oh, it won't let me ring this up. Well, what's it?
Yeah.
Yeah, artificial intelligence. You can't have a mechanical cash register any place anymore where you just push the buttons or take the money or handwrite a receipt for people. The economy in America would literally shut down if cyberspace and the internet shut down. So maybe that's what this, this demon is talking about when he says this. It's gonna, they have control and back doors in all Windows 10 computers now. All of them.
Right.
So
it reminds me. This was probably 10 years ago. One of my listeners worked for the railroad. He was a I forget what they call him now. The guy that drives the engine. I can't think of it now. But anyway, he'd been with the railroad for a very long time, and he told me, he says, you know, a lot of people don't think about this, but there's a lot of switchgear on railroads. These are the mechanisms that take a train that's on, say, track number 9 and flip them over to track number 10. And it's a very complicated process to make sure these trains don't run into each other. They have to be completely aware of what direction they're going, what line they're on, etc. And in the old days, they had what they called radio men or relay men. And these were guys on radios, and at one time probably with visual signals, but then when radios came around, these guys would have radios, and they physically would pull levers and get these tracks to switch. Well, along comes modern technology, and they slowly were starting to integrate computer-driven switching. Electronic switching. The men were taken out of the picture. And he called in to tell me that they had finally reached the point where they have eliminated all mechanical switching and it has been replaced with digital driven electric motors. So the entire railroad system now is at the mercy of the internet and the computers as getting trains from the East Coast to the West Coast and all across America. That's all now completely digitized, which means it's susceptible to what you're talking about, Mike, artificial intelligence. If it's sometimes...
Well, and then what about the lack of intelligence because of all this affirmative action stuff? Now, not only do we not have a system that an actual human with a decent IQ over 100 could go in and manually move things around if the electronic systems failed. Now you've got a bunch of low IQ congoids sitting behind these desks who are, they can't wait for an opportunity to say, oh, it's broken, can't do my job, and then just get paid to sit there while the whole world collapses. Sound familiar?
Yeah. No, yeah. I remember 20-some years ago being in stores when they were first starting to digitize everything, and like you just said, I'd go to pay for something, the computer's down, you'll have to wait a minute. I go, well, why can't you pull out a receipt book and do it the old-fashioned way? Oh, I don't know how to do that. I don't know.
Or I don't want it. Or I don't want to do it.
Right. So, you know, technology is allowing us to have this conversation and bring this information to literally the entire world. But at the same time, you have to be careful because everything on this earth can be used for good or evil. Every tool, every weapon, every piece of technology can either be used to do good or evil. And right. Our problem we have right now is that a lot of people are blinded by technology where they think everything high tech is good. And they are literally tech junkies. They can't wait for the newest phone to come out or the newest flat screen or the newest smart TV or the smart home where they can turn on my living room lights or dim the television screen or cook me a roast, you know. I mean, they literally are that lazy and addicted to technology. It's unbelievable. It's like I listened to the interview with the professor, the retired professor, who wrote Google Archipelago. So it's a take on Gulag Archipelago, but it's the Google Archipelago. Basically, he's talking about high tech is creating electronic gulags for the conservative people. And all of your top brass at Google and Facebook and all that are all Jews. Wozniak, Susan Wozniak, all of them Jews, okay? Even that Indian guy has got shekels in his pocket. So, you know, it's the same thing where they are going to take and put you in an electronic jail by censorship or whatever. But I was going to go somewhere with what Rechtenwald was saying in that interview. I must be getting old. These thoughts pop in and then they pop right back out again. So either that or I'm very tired.
Well,
it could be one of.
Yeah, well, it happens to us all. You know, you and I had been talking recently. I'm not a slave to this technology, but unfortunately, if you don't have a computer nowadays, we can't do the kind of research we want to do. We can't, you know, communicate the way we need to. And to be honest, I'm trying to stay away from using a smartphone. So it's better to have a computer at home on a landline. And if it's powerful enough, we can use, to your earlier point, this great technology to even do video or even live interviews. Maybe we can implement that down the road. But as you said, this technology could be used for evil. And I know that our people have done a lot of evil as well, but what do you see typically? What do you typically see? What did John Mark talk about in our interview a couple weeks ago? A lot of these other nations see it as a badge of honor to be able to be sly and trick people and get over and steal or, you know, coerce somebody out of their money. It's something that is deemed as an honorable trait in someone. That's the opposite with our people. We've never believed that unless we've been brainwashed by the Jew or a foreigner. So this technology that our people have developed, and again, for anybody who doesn't believe it, read Human Accomplishment by Dr. Charles Murray. 97% of everything or more that has provided value, like computers and microchips and TV and radio, all of these things, everything we use every day, was developed by Caucasian people, Adam Kind people. Well, we don't develop this stuff to use it for evil. We develop it to use it for good. Who is typically the ones that use it for evil? Well, the Jew and their minions. And look at what they did to Thomas Edison. They stole his technologies. They stole his motion picture technology and ran the hell out to Hollywood and started the empire of their own out there because they didn't want to have to pay him for the license to use his motion picture technology, and they ran away. So even with nuclear weapons, look at the people that they said were at the helm of developing this stuff. Well, Oppenheimer wasn't one of the head guys. He's just the guy that the Jew put forward to say, oh, I am the destroyer of worlds now, like the old Vedic texts and Hindu statement from their writings. Well, everything that the Jew gets his hands on, he thinks, oh, well, this is a great technology. How can I use this to steal from people? How can I use the computer or this weapon to control other people and make my life easier and their life harder? Where when our people develop things, it's for the purpose of convenience and elevating the human condition. That's not why they do. But everything they do is to subjugate others and to destroy and steal. I don't remember exactly what the scripture says, but lie, murder, steal, destroy, that's their whole methodology.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, the Bible just keeps getting proved right over and over again. And I just remembered what Rechtenwald was talking about that caught my attention in that interview. He was driving his car. This was not that long ago. He was driving his car in town, and somebody pulled out in front of him, and he started cursing at him and swearing. And, you know, you can imagine what kind of language. Because he's alone in his car. He wasn't worried about it. And all of a sudden, a voice said, I think his name's Robert, Robert, I'll pretend I didn't hear that. And it came across his car's speaker, the stereo system. And he thought, what the hell? And then he realized it was through his phone, and the AI, it was either an algorithm or an actual person, he's not sure, but whoever it was listening to his through his phone and heard him say what he said. And basically said, You know, you need to, they said, you know, I'll pretend I didn't hear that. And later on it said something about you need to clean up your language or something like that. So this invasiveness, think when 5G is implemented. This stuff's going on under 4G. And a little bit of 5G technology. What do you think it's going to be like when they get their way and there's 240 billion RFID chips they got planned? And this was over, 2 years ago when Wheeler gave that speech at the FCC. He was in the head of the FCC. He gave that speech saying, we're going full speed ahead with 5G by 2020. And we have 240 billion RFID chips that will be used as part of that system. And we're not stopping for approvals, and we're not stopping for any safety evaluations on the 5G technology. Now, that's a guy.
Proves it's a weapon.
It's a weapon, exactly right. And people, you know, it's like, what does it take to wake people up? I mean, so this Rechtenwald professor is wide awake now, and he is speaking out vehemently about the left is full of hypocrites, and we all know that, because what does Scripture say in Luke chapter 12? Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their, what, hypocrisy. So anybody that does the leavening process, making small, almost imperceptible changes in your systems, and they're doing it while they themselves don't let it apply to them. That's hypocrisy. Well, take a look at America. The Jew is at the front of trying to disarm the Americans when every Jew lives either with armed guards going there with them or they're carrying weapons. But they don't
and
want you
nation,
to have a weapon.
Yeah, and their nation that they have pledged loyalty first, Israel, even though they claim to live here, going back to that Kol Nedra prayer that you talked about earlier, that nation is surrounded by a wall. There are separate highways for foreigners to drive on. There is literally a gulag-style walkway and pathway between the Gaza Strip, where the captured Palestinian peoples live, and where when the Israelis want to use them as slave labor and actually give them a job, if they actually pay them after the work, they have to walk through this, what looks like a barbed wire covered pathway where they're searched and frisked. I mean, it looks like coming in and out of a prison camp, which is exactly what Gaza Strip is right now. But how about this, Dan? You know I'm in the industry. I'm in telecommunications. It's been proven over and over again. Many a paper has been written and submitted to the FCC, and the engineers I speak to, they all say, I don't understand the rush to move this out, to implement 5G. It's an inefficient way to broadcast signal. It only goes a very short distance. You need to have a 5G tower every 500 to 1,000 feet because it's a very small signal. It dies very quickly. So let's get this straight now. Let's understand this. They're claiming that this signal, which is going to be just the best thing ever in communications, is going to need a tower, a transmitter receiver, what we call a TXRX, every 500 to 1,000 feet. Why? What, if it's going to cost so much and it's so inefficient, and for everybody who doesn't understand the technology, you need a landline connection for every single one of those towers. That's going to exponentially increase the cost of operating such a network, because the real cost isn't just the one-time charge for putting up the equipment and powering it up. It's the transport, either the T1 or the, you know, the gigabit Ethernet lines that that connect those towers to each other and back to the main switch. It's going to cost infinitely more to run a 5G network. So what's the rush? Well, what you're finding out, for everybody who's open and honest about this technology, it was first developed as a weapon because of the effect that it has on the human body and the human mind. These are microwaves. So, as a matter of fact, the human body absorbs these microwaves. So do trees and plants and walls and things. So what's going to be next? The government is going to say that, oh, we have to have one of these on everybody's lawn now? I mean, think about it, folks. Just the average size neighborhood now, how many of these things are you going to need? How much ground are they going to need to dig up to get the transport connections to them? This is a huge, huge project. Yet this FCC commissioner says, oh, we're not looking for approvals. Wait a second. The FCC is only supposed to grant license for this stuff. They're not the business pushing it. The FCC is supposed to be the government entity that protects our rights and makes sure that private business doesn't pirate these signals or do something that's going to harm us. Why is a member of government standing up saying that they're going to push what is supposed to be a private business enterprise? Right? Your AT&Ts, your Verizons, your T-Mobiles and Sprints, they're supposed to be the ones that say, hey, we're pushing this because we're going to make money out of this by providing the service to the customer. Why is a government entity so anxious to push this technology when there are cities and whole countries in Europe who have outlawed this? The capital of the European Union, Brussels, Belgium, has outlawed this. Countries all over have outlawed this. New Hampshire was told, the state of New Hampshire was told, you better stop investigating this stuff, because the FCC has already said we've provided our decision on this. Mm-hmm. Wait a second. Telecommunications has a bigger war chest than big pharmaceutical, three times the size of big pharma.
Wow.
So, wait a second. So one guy unilaterally, Wheeler, stands up at an FCC meeting and says, wait a second, we're pushing this. And did you see the YouTube videos of the one media guy that tried to question him? They tried to get him kicked out of the meeting. So what does that tell you? Any opposition to this is being dealt with quickly and emphatically and forcefully. I mean, this is not for the good of the American people. This is going to be used as a weapon to control us. And when you've got, to your point, Dan, about all of these RFID chips, every single TV, every single cell phone, I mean, there are refrigerators now with cameras in them for your convenience to tell you how much milk is inside so that you know before you come home from your soul-crushing job if you have to pick up milk. Well, how could a camera inside your refrigerator improve the quality of your life so much? But if it's wirelessly connected to this government control system, couldn't it really help the government to see what's going on in your house and hear everything that was talked about inside your kitchen every day?
Yeah. it's the nirvana for the globalists in the controlling of the herd. And here's what I think they have planned. By the way, I wanted to make the point that everything you're talking about, the way they behave, sounds just like a mafia. Just like the book Red Mafia. That's the way gangsters operate. So your government operates at this point in time exactly the way the Red Mafia does. Exactly. You're not allowed any actual opposition. You're not allowed to question them. So the government is no longer a representative government. It is just a shell to make you think you have representative government when it operates just like a mafia. So it's just mind-numbing. And this Wheeler guy talking about these chips and everything, Wheeler came from the IT industry, if I remember right. So here's another where you're hiring a fox to watch the hen house, as the farmers used to say. You put Wheeler in charge of the FCC, which is supposed to be representing us, to make sure things are done appropriately and safely, when he is tied into the very industry that he's supposed to be watching. He's got connections to it all over the place. So again, it's just like the mob. Government has literally been taken over by the mob. We are no different than the USSR in that regard. No different. Or communist China. All three of them operate the exact same way. They're all mobsters. They all have Jewish, rich, billionaire Jewish bankers are behind everything that goes on. It's just one great big mafiosa. And it's not the good Italian mafiosa that has some kind of decorum and rules of conduct. These people are butchers. That's why people that threaten them, like Vince Foster, ends up dead. Seth Rich ends up dead. And they do it with impunity, okay? These people know they're above the law. There is no law against these people. This is all a sham. And that includes the current administration. That's why everybody's frustrated. Nothing's being done. It's because the mob's in control, and they're just allowing this show to go on to make you think that you have some control or you have some good guys looking out for you, when the sad fact is we're on our own, aren't we, Mike?
We are. We're on our own. And again, the whole facade of having representation, right? Oh, well, this is a conspiracy theory, Mike and Dan. The FCC is there. They're the overseer. They're the watchdog. Well, wait a second. Just as in Big Pharma, you've got somebody that makes their entire living for a 30-plus year career working for these private industries, and then all of a sudden they've got a top position in government again. And wait a second. How could you be objective if all your buddies that you've worked with, all of the people you've rubbed elbows with and built relationships with for your entire career, who have the purse strings of all these giant companies, they're all your buddies. But then we're supposed to believe that you go into public service working for the FCC or the FDA, and you're going to be completely objective? No. We've seen it all the time. Well, what, the people who hold top spots at the FDA, then they go back working in sales or research and development or, gee, what a surprise, lobbying for Big Pharma again. You did them favors while you were holding a public government position. Get your big pension and your lifetime benefits from government and then go make a fortune, you know, at Big Pharma. You got your reward. You pushed through their drug. I mean, it's all dirty. It's too big. Where does the Constitution say that the federal government of the United States has the power to control technology that will harm the American people? Where does it say that? Where does it, is that one of the powers that has been delegated to the government, the federal government? No, I don't see that anyplace. But,
no.
Hey, no, it's the air, the frequencies that travel the air around your head, and that government is in control of those, up to and including selling them to a private company who's going to use that harmful technology to make a fortune off of you.
It's a mob. It's run just like a mob. That's why I say the more you come out of the brainwashing to think that this is the government that the founding fathers established, no, it's not. These people are interlopers, they're outlaws, they're operating under the color of law, and they're running a crime syndicate. It's exactly what it is. And like you said, you know, when they put one of their own criminals and give him a government job, the sheep sit back going, well, he's for the government, and we got to obey it, you know, because they're there and they've got the authority, and we just got to, you know, yeah, I don't understand it, but we got to obey it. Sorry, bullshit.
Well, he's got the flag on that one.
Yeah,
he's got an American flag tie on, Dan. He's got to be a good guy.
Hey, I wanted to, while you were talking, it reminded me, and again, I point to this example because it's right down there in Mexico. A city of 30,000 people just declared their independence, and they threw out the central government, the central bank, and the central churches, the large mega churches like Catholic and most of the Protestant, threw them all out. And they fired the police department. Everybody in the central government was fired, and they brought the militia, which is the local residents, formed the militia for protection, and they have the safest, happiest group of people in all of Mexico. They don't have a drug problem. They don't even have any crime. And the militia, the biggest job of the militia is to keep outsiders away from their city. That's the biggest job they have, is to keep people away. Within the city, they have a zero crime rate. So as the one guy that I read his letter to me is talking about, and that's where we need to go forward, and even John Mark, when he said, with proprietarianism and the law of reciprocity, that is a governmental form, which is biblical, but going forward, you got to have muscle. And our muscle is the citizen soldier. It's the militia. So at some point, we have to figure out how to communicate to at least the leaders of the militia and get a dialogue started with our state militias. Because what I see happening is a breakup of America, which is what Tom Chittum forecasted in his book, Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America. We're going to go back to nation states, which is probably where we should have been all along. Individual nation states with what do you want to call it? Not treaties, but commerce agreements between each other, mm-hmm. which was what the federal government was supposed to do. Their only purpose was to provide for like a post office and to help the states do better commerce and work together. It wasn't to supplant the states and states' rights. It was to help the states have a better, more uniform way of doing commerce and business with each other and travel between each other so that there were no conflicts. That's all. And we're now seeing that the federal government has made themselves lord and master and now they have become interlopers and quite criminal, it's going to have to go back to the states. And some of the states are actually doing that. They're talking and preparing for a secession. And I think that's where we're headed. The states have to regroup as sovereign nation states and come up with their own currencies, come up with their own commerce and trade, and survive. I mean, we're going to have to do that to survive. And we have to get back to local governance, exactly what the law of Moses in the scriptures teaches. In fact, I wanted to read one of the verses here that I had seen that popped up that was talking about Deuteronomy chapter 1, a couple quick verses in Deuteronomy, some real wise sayings here. Verse 13, take wise men of understanding who are respected among your tribes, the tribes of Jacob, Israel, that's us, Caucasians, and I will make them heads over you. Okay, so there's the formula for success. Wise men of understanding who are respected. Then in verse 15 it says, so I took the heads of your tribes, wise and respected men, and made them heads over you, captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, captains of fifties, captains of tens, and officers according to your tribe. So the formula is there. Propertarianism and the law of reciprocity is tied up in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It's exactly the way it is. The guy like Moses, Moses was only there to settle disputes that couldn't be handled at those levels we just talked about. Captains of 50s, 10s, 100s, 1000s, and 10,000s. Right. If it couldn't be handled by those guys, that's the only time the monarch gets involved.
Well, that's what old Germania was like. People who went to public school system like me who don't understand their history, Germania was at one point over 100 small little sovereign nation states. These were peoples that agreed that they had common lineage, heritage, ancestry, genetics with their neighbors in the rest of Germania, but they had a smaller territory where they maybe wore a little bit different outfit, and maybe their dialect was slightly different. But when it came down to it, they traded with each other peacefully. There would be a little bit of a conflict now and then, but that's what happens when you deal with human beings. But it was an incredibly fruitful and productive and prosperous way to run a civilization. It was a very small, effective way of dealing with issues, not this megalithic, you know, DC government who everybody that talks about it just laughs and says, well, they don't listen to us, they don't help us. Well, what if you had a small city state that was the size of a large county, and you could go right up to the office of the, you know, the people who were in charge of the government for the county and say, hey, we've got a problem with this, Joe, and I want this handled. I want it handled now. And they would do it. They didn't have all this bureaucracy. They didn't have all of these appointed, but unelected bureaucrats. It was small and effective. Well, why do you think Germany became such an incredibly successful nation and people? That's why. Because it wasn't corrupt. And it was homogeneous. It wasn't a mob.
Yep. So the solutions, like John Mark is talking about, I think the solutions are pretty clear. It's we the people have to take back the reins of power and control. The founding fathers believed that. They wrote it into the documents, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers, works like Common Sense by Thomas Paine, all of it, okay? It all is commonsensical, and all power is inherent in the people. And so we not only have the right to do that, we have the duty to do that for our families, our loved ones, and for all of mankind, to be quite honest, because these people are criminals. These people want to enslave all mankind and keep them under control. And you know what's happening, if you think about this, the 5G technology is not planned for all over the United States. It's mostly planned in large population centers. And you might say, well, okay, what's the purpose? They're going to drive us off of the properties. Look what they're doing in California already with directed energy weapons. They're driving people out of regions of California. So where do they go? Most of them are going into the cities. They're trying to drive the people off the land and leave only their sycophants and their lackeys out on the countryside in the farming areas and the woodlands and all that. They want to drive everybody into the cities where they can be managed just like cattle. It's just like a rancher back in the old days of the Midwest. When barbed wire fence was invented, they loved it because now they could drive the cattle into a fenced-in area and it was easier to control them. Before that, they could roam all over the place, and cowboys had to ride horses for hours at a time sometimes to get out to where these cattle were meandering off to. Well, that's the way they look at it now. They don't want us cattle, us people, non-Jews, to just have freedom of travel and association, all that, because we might, quote, get our crap together and present a problem to them. So now they want us concentrated where they can monitor literally everything about what the cattle are doing, so that our lords and masters, these criminal red mafia Jews, can maintain control over us, monitor us and maintain control. Does that make sense, Mike?
Makes a lot of sense. And every single thing that you're saying is true. I mean, it's out in the open. When you look at all of the things that have been outlined in Agenda 21, all of the things that have been outlined in the agenda for 2030, these are United Nations programs by which control over every area of our lives in terms of resources, the land you're allowed to step foot on, what you're allowed to do with water, what you're allowed to do to grow your own food, what they're going to be spraying in the air. I mean, this is, again, Dan, this is exactly how the owners of a big free-range chicken business would look at the chickens running around the land. They would implement policies in a boardroom somewhere and say, these are the things that we're going to do to all the chickens, and the chickens are too dumb to know that it's being done. So, you know, we're not locking them in little cages. We'll let them roam around. We'll treat them better than we used to treat chickens, but the end result is still going to be the same. That's how they treat us. That's how they look at us.
Oh yeah, and they're pretty open about it. They're pretty open about it. Like I said, these books that are written, especially the ones written by Jews, it's amazing how revealing they are. You'd think more people would be sitting here and holding it up in a church or in a group meeting somewhere and going, do you realize what these people are doing that walk amongst us, these wolves in sheep's clothing? Do you understand what's going on here? It reminds me of when I talked to a New York State detective one time. I can't remember why we were even having a conversation, but I got talking to him, and I asked him about things that were going on as far as his work and everything. He goes, do you know what I spend most of my time doing? I said, what's that? He goes, trying to recover the young girls from rural New York that end up being kidnapped and taken to New York City and placed in prostitution. And now we know exactly who the hell he was talking about. He's talking about the Red Mafia, the Jews, because that's their favorite thing to do, is take Goyim girls like Russians and Eastern European women and drug them up and kidnap them in some cases and ply them as prostitutes for them to make money. But he said that's what most of his time was spent, trying to get these young girls from rural New York and get them out of New York City and back to their homes, back to their families. So it's been a problem for a very long time, and part of the problem is the fact that people are afraid to name the 800-pound elephant in the middle of the room, or the gorilla, or whatever. It's the Jews, okay? A lot of people, well, you can't say that. Well, why, Mike? Why can't we say that? I mean, Friedman says it in his book. Henry McCowell says it from Canada, the doctor up there who's Jewish. Benjamin Friedman, another Jew, said it in his 1960s speech or whatever. Rosenthal said it. He got shot for it when he got off the plane in Israel. They found him with a bullet hole in his head. But he told Professor White all about the Zionist plan for world domination. The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, completely Jewish from front to back, tells the whole plan, and they're operating the plan to the letter. So why is it we're not supposed to say that? Shouldn't that tell people something, that you're not supposed to criticize this special group of people, special only in the sense of their criminality? They're not special because of their benefit to mankind. They're criminals. They're a leech. They're a parasite, exactly like that book said, the host and the parasite. You know, it's, you look at their behavior, these criminal organizations, you know, like I said, these gangsters and mobsters, okay? They're billionaires. They're into legitimate businesses with all of their blood money off of the misery of mankind. They've now bought their way into government. They've bought their way into real estate. They've bought their way into corporate America. And they bought their way into the mainstream media. Look at CNN. CNN, the top three levels of management at CNN are all Bolshevik Jews. The whole top three layers. It's like 50, 60, 65 people in the top three layers. And CNN is nothing more than the Communist News Network. So it's all around us, and we need to be aware of it and address it, or else how can you win a war? How can you win a war if you don't properly identify who your enemy is, Mike?
You can't win a war that way. You have to identify who the enemy is. And you know what the big stumbling block is for our people? Is everybody can probably say, oh, well, I know a Jewish guy, and he's nice. Well, hold on a second. If this Jewish guy is so nice, huh? Well, how do you know what this person does in secret? How do you know what organizations he donates to, or who he tattles to? Or I'm not trying to plant this seed in the minds of people. Maybe there are. I mean, Shlomo Sands spoke out. Bobby Fischer, the chess genius, spoke out. You listed a whole bunch of people who spoke out and tried to do the right thing. Well, how come all these good Jews that, and I say that in quotation, every single person I have ever tried to give this message to is says, well, that's not true. You remember this guy we went to, we knew in high school? He was a good guy. Well, how do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know that there was such a good guy? So are they speaking out about this, or are they supporting it? Benjamin Freeman said that in his speech. He said that in that garment district in New York City, when they came to collect, if you didn't pay, they would run you out of business. So they even do it to their own kind.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. They do it to their own kind. So this idea that, oh, well, but there are some good Jews. Well, then mention them as good Jews, but speak up about the evil ones, which is, I can't even guess what the percentage is. But the point is, how can such a small group of people, how could such a so-called picked on and abused and oppressed people have so much power in the world and use it in such a way that it is so evil on every occasion? But we still keep believing every time Schindler's List comes on that, oh, you know, see, they're oppressed. It's a movie.
based on a novel, by the way. Yeah, on a novel.
Schindler's List won the award for best fiction novel. Yet our people use that book and the movie that it was made from to form their worldview about Jews. It's a propaganda piece meant to make you think these people are so oppressed. And by the way, Dan, earlier in the program, you mentioned this one Jew who was interviewed, this older Jewish man, who said, no, well, it's true because I believed in my mind it was true. This was an interview that was done actually with a Jewish couple who had for decades claimed they had been in a concentration camp and suffered all these incredible things under the hands of the Nazis. Well, live on the interview, the Jewish interviewer, by the way, from this news network, caught them lying. And he pressed them for the answer. And that's when the husband said, well, you know, these things didn't actually happen, but in my mind they did.
Yep.
I mean, yep. How many times are these people going to get caught stealing, lying, murdering, cheating? This whole Epstein thing, what does it tell you? What, regardless of what the truth ends up being someday, as far as whether he killed himself or whatever, that doesn't matter. The point is that some Jew who all authorities admitted was a part of intelligence, they didn't say whether it was Mossad intelligence, but this entire methodology that they used to brownstone people and use these honeypots. There's a long history of the Jews using women, which is a weakness for our men, pretty women, to get them in compromising positions so that they can then control them. Gee, yep. What a surprise. The method works, so they keep doing it. Epstein had a book, multiple copies of the same book, a handwritten journal, plus videotapes of all of these super powerful Adam Kind men doing things they shouldn't have been doing, compromised. So all these super powerful men, including our president and royalty of European nations, having to do the will of these Jews because they're being blackmailed.
Yep.
I mean, is that not something the Red Mafia would do?
Exactly what I was going to say. You know, as I'm reading the book, I just see the parallels over and over and over again on how Friedman describes the Red Mafia and how they worked. And it's exactly what the intelligence community, Colonel Roy Potter, he talks about the greatest enemy to this country is the intelligence agencies. Kevin Shipp, former CIA, Robert David Steele, former CIA, all say the same things. Okay, the intelligence agencies are our greatest enemy because they run with impunity. They hide everything under secrecy and state secrets and all this other stuff. But when you find out who was behind the forming of these intelligence agencies, Jews, and who have been the vast majority of the heads of these departments, just like Homeland Security. Who was the first guy that they put in charge of Homeland Security? Michael Chertoff, a man under federal indictment in New Jersey as a federal judge. He was under indictment for malfeasance in office. And he's the son of a rabbi, obviously a kike, obviously dual citizen, obviously a traitor, and even under indictment in New Jersey. And yet he is put in charge of Homeland Security. Whose homeland is he securing?
And he's a part owner of the Rapiscan company, those body scanners that go in all the airports. Gee, what? That's not a conflict of interest.
Oh, but this stuff, when you read the book, The Brothers, which is an expose of John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles, and Alan Dulles, another kike, and his brother John Foster, high level in the government, had everything to do with the forming of the CIA and the other intelligence agencies. And Alan Dulles was fired by Kennedy because he was a despicable man. And what did they do to Kennedy? That it's just like a mob. We got to stop thinking that this is legitimate government. No, it's not. It is a mob. And they've been in control for so long now, they don't they don't believe they have to be accountable to us on any level.
No.
So when are we going to form our forces, our defense forces? That's what I want to know. When are we going to form our militia and defense forces? Because we're on our own. And if there's a good military out there, they need to start getting ready to make sure that we can identify who they are, because the assumption has to be that if you're working for the government, you're part of the problem. You're part of the mob. So at some point, if you're working, whether it's at the state or federal level, if you're in some government agent, at some point, you're going to have to be ready to walk away. Because if
I'm sorry, I stepped on you. Everybody's got to watch this video by Max Egan. His YouTube channel is The Crow House. Does he use the name of the Father the way we do? No. But this video is called Government is the Enemy of the People. You've got to watch this video because he goes through for an hour. He tells you, look at all of the things that so-called government is supposed to do and look at what they actually do. He just addresses it and he says, all we have to do is stop complying. And if you're married to somebody who's in government, tell them you better get a different job or get a different spouse because you don't want anything to do with traitors like this. See, even people who don't consider themselves identity or, even people who say that they're atheists, our people who have the power of discernment, they're waking up, they're saying, no, something is terribly wrong here. Terribly wrong. We have been captured, and we don't need to ask permission of our captors to defend ourselves. When these people, this mob tries to say, oh, you're taking the government or the law into your own hands, bullshit. The law says that I am, if I see evil being done and don't do anything about it, I am as equally responsible as the party who's committing the actual crime. I have the natural right from my creator to defend my people and myself, my property. I don't get my rights from Jews who write fancy things on pieces of paper. I get my rights from my creator. I'm not going to ask my enemy for permission to defend myself against him. Think of how ludicrous that is, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
The Second Amendment, which gives everybody an unalienable right, an unalienable right to defend themselves with the weapon of the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why should I have to go and ask the very entity that I am defending myself against for permission to carry such a weapon? Did the Christ in the hours before he was arrested, did he say in the garden to the apostles, oh, go ask Caesar first for permission to pick up a sword so that you can defend yourself? No. He said, go sell your coat if you don't have a sword and get one. You're going to need it. We don't need to ask our enemies for permission to defend ourselves. Stop eating their poison food. Stop using their form of medical treatment. Stop obeying them when it comes to what you're allowed to do with your own property and your own land. I'm going to put an apple tree and some corn on my own land. F you. I don't care if it's against homeowners association. If enough of our people all did this, what are they going to do? Can't do anything. That's why they want this 5G weapon. They want to be able to broadcast a signal that harms us when they need to. They know we have the numbers. They know we have the guns. They know that we're waking up. So that's why they're pushing to get this super powerful weapon in place so that they can hurt us with it when we refuse to comply.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Henry, or not Henry, but Ralph put up here some information. He says here, I just got around to listening to the podcast that Dan did with Dr. William Donald Kelly almost 20 years ago. I would encourage listeners to go to the archives and listen, as they are just as relevant now today as they were back when in 1999 when we did them. And there was three of them, I think, September 10th, October 15th, and November 12th of 1999. Cancer, What You Always Wanted to Know, The Cancer Cover-Up, which was a part two to that first one, and then Beware of the Child Protectors, which was Dr. Judy Nipps with U.S. Air Force Colonel Francis Farrell. So, you know, and thanks for Ralph for putting that up there. It's, you know, we've been lied to, Mike, about so many things, and you're right on the money. We just got to stop. We have to break out of this mental brainwashing and conditioning that we're suffering from and start thinking like free men again and the children of the Most High. We don't need their permission. We just need to come together in agreement, just like John Mark and his group and our group and Misha Popov down there in Texas, who's of a Russian ancestry, came to America a long time ago through Canada. Very conservative, very much a man of faith. And, you know, when I interviewed him on the program here, he talked about the fact that many of his relatives back in Russia were in favor of Bolshevism. They bought the lie. He goes, his side of the family, of course, didn't. That's why they left and came into Canada and the United States. But, you know, our people have to break free of this brainwashing that just because it's government, that it's got power. In essence, what our people have done, Mike, is made government a god. Isn't that what they've done? They've turned it into an idol.
It is. It's idolatry. It's like what in the book of Daniel, where Daniel and his friends refused to bow when the gong was sounded. Well, think of the arrogance of a leader like that, who expects when a gong is sounded that everybody's going to, you know, bow and kneel and scrape and say some prayer to this tyrant. Well, haven't we seen that? when you go into a courtroom and some Jew in black robes is sitting behind there, and some burly guy who they call the bailiff with a gun on his side says, "All rise for the Honorable Berkowitz," or whatever their name is. Really? Why? What, and if you don't do it, you're in trouble. If you speak out of turn, you can be held in contempt of court. Why do we worship these people? Why do we listen to them? Why do we obey them? Think of how programmed we are. You are legally driving on the roads that you and your people have paid for, and you see some lights flashing behind you. Your heart starts pounding. Your gut turns over. And you immediately pull over. Why? Because you're brainwashed to be terrified of Barney Fife. That's why. You were brainwashed into worshiping these people. How many people get the same feeling in their gut when they break a commandment? Think about that reality, Dan. Are people more afraid of some guy driving a police car than they are of their own creator? Do people get a sick feeling in their stomach or, you know, sweat, or does their heart pound a little bit more when they maybe tell a lie, or maybe they swore to their parents or did anything in violation of the commandments? Nope. The average person does not give a rat's furry behind about that. But boy, if they get a letter from the IRS, does their heart pound? That's yep. Idolatry. That's idolatry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the good news is, though, even Coach Dabomir, I don't know if you ever listened to any of his stuff, but I've been checking him out only because lately he and his crew, they call it the huddle because he was a high school football coach before he retired. They are saying a lot of things that you and I have been talking about here for a long, long time. They're starting to talk about this very stuff, this very subject. And that's encouraging to me. It's starting to percolate. You know, we're on the front lines. We're in the trenches up near the front lines. And so we take a lot of flack. We get ignored a lot. In fact, I sent that thing out, a picture of a prophet. If you read down through the descriptions of what Ravenhill said about a prophet, that's us, okay? Scorned, ridiculed, while we're alive, we're denigrated and made fun of and ridiculed. And then when the war is over, all of a sudden, and we're dead in the grave, then they honor us with a big statue and, wow, what great work they were doing, and they exposed this and all that. But then while we're here, it's just the opposite, and that. But they're starting at least to pay attention, Mike. I mean, that's, to me, that's encouraging. We need every bit of encouragement we can get these days. Things look so I don't know, so ugly. It's super, super ugly because the left is unhinged. I also wanted to mention what you were talking about. Doesn't the Book of Revelation confirm that at some point Babylon's going to burn, and when Babylon burns, the people doing the weeping and wailing are basically merchants, bankers, merchants, and government people. If you read that revelation exposing of the burning of Babylon in a short period of time, the English, they put within 1 hour, but that's not what it says in Greek. It's just meaning a short period of time. So in a short period of time, the world awakens and throws these bastards out, much like that city in Mexico, much like the Spanish did there a year or so ago. Their central government, they stopped paying them, and they all lost their work, and Spain is still there today. Okay, Iceland threw their bankers in prison and forgave the debt. Iceland's still there. Mm-hmm. We have examples all over the place of what we can do, much lesser people with much lesser means than the average American have the courage that they actually took destiny into their own hands.
You know, it's funny, Dan. I used to like a lot of old movies, and even the parts, you know, that you look at, you say, well, overall the story is great. The message is great before the Jew had complete control over Hollywood. But there was one that I really, really liked, and it gave me a lot of encouragement, when, much like the story you just told about the Mexican people who just kicked all the tyrants out and they run things themselves, the Magnificent Seven is about a Mexican town that was just under a mob. You know, everything they grew and all the animals they raised, they had to give so much of it to this gangster, who was played by a Jew, by the way, in the movie. Ironically, he was supposed to be a Mexican gangster, and he's played by a Jew, an American Jew. So obvious that he's not Mexican, so that was telling us something. But seven white guys with guns show up, and they get hired by these Mexican people to help get this tyrant and his gang out of there. And they win. They win, but one scene that really sticks in my mind is this one Mexican guy. He says, you know, I'm scared. And Steve McQueen says, well, of course you're scared. I'm scared too. And he's like, well, you're scared? Yeah, I'm scared. Even though I'm a gunfighter, I do this for a living. I'm scared. You'd be stupid if you weren't scared. So all of our people, of course it's normal to be scared. These feelings are normal. Well, if I speak up about this stuff, or if I refuse to comply or whatever, I could lose my job or my girl or my home or what. But what's the alternative? If you continue to live under the tyranny of this people, you may for a little while, just as William Wallace said in that one great battle in Braveheart, he said, if you run today with your tail between your legs, yeah, you may live. But when you're in your deathbed someday, you would give everything you have and every day you had before that to be able to be back here today and fight this battle. Well, what are we going to do as a people? Are we going to continue to live in maybe a little bit of comfort and ease for now while they implement these systems just like they did under Bolshevism in Russia, this place will be a hell on earth.
Yep.
It will be a hell on earth. The police are being armed like the military. They're implementing these direct energy weapons in the form of 5G. The economy is going to crash to the point where there will be no money. There will be no resources to buy. And it will be like the king, the tyrant king, living on a land somewhere. He has everything he needs. And he has a few cronies that he pays well to do his bidding. And everybody else just dies of starvation or disease or cannibalizes each other. That's the hell that they're going to make this place. And they're herding us all into cities so that when the grocery store shelves are empty and the electric power grid gets shut down, they'll just sit back and watch while the chaos takes place. That's what they think is going to happen.
Yep. You know, Ralph just put up here a Zero Hedge link that says Times Square billboard shows Trump being hogtied and tortured. You know, this is all kabuki theater. I'm at that point. You tell me if you think I'm crazy, Mike, but I told people stop watching the bullshit. I don't care if it's the left or right at this point. Stop, please. This is all kabuki theater, okay? The left threatening Trump and the Trump sitting here going, oh, I'm going to have to bring in the Marines. No. They're both Bolsheviks, okay? R Bolsheviks and D Bolsheviks, Republican Bolsheviks and Democrat Bolsheviks. They're both operating on the same team. You just have Team A and Team B, but they're part of the same cabal, the same swamp, the same red mafia. It's all theater, folks. Just like when he looked at Hillary and said, yeah, if I was president, you'd be in jail. Is she in jail? Is she suffering in any way, shape, or form since Trump got into the... No! It's all kabuki theater to get you to think that something other than you, yourself, is part of the solution. You got to stop that. We, the people like Mike and our listeners and the people that I'm talking to, they are the solution to this problem. Why? Because they are the ones that hold up the biblical law and the creator of this world and the creator of that law. They're the only ones. There's nobody in Washington, nobody that's doing anything to glorify our king and to glorify his law. They're not doing anything, and that includes the current administration. Think about that long and hard. You're being played, folks, by the kabuki theater people in Washington and in the press and in the state capitals to think that they're trying to do something to fix this problem when there is absolutely no intention of changing anything. That's why the biggest perpetrators still walk the earth. They fake their deaths. They're over there sipping Mai Tais and rum runners under tiki huts in Israel or in some other remote location, laughing their ass off at us, sitting here and trying to figure out, well, how did he die off the side of a bed when it's only like a foot and a half off the ground? I mean, it's like, well, how did... It's kabuki theater, people. Don't waste your breath and time. It's time for the militia to start thinking about what's coming next. And that means all of you. You're all citizen soldiers. And Christ said that. You mentioned it, Mike, when he told his disciples, I'm leaving. You better have a sword. I'm leaving. Right now, I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Creator himself here in a flesh body. Obviously, nothing's going to happen to you. Even though they still carried swords, many of them did. But when he said, I'm leaving and I'm putting you here amongst wolves, like the Red Mafia, you're amongst wolves, you'd better make sure you're armed. So the few of you who haven't bought a sword yet, every one of you needs to be carrying a defensive weapon. Because when you get right down to brass tacks, Our Heavenly Father put each of us men here with the job to protect ourselves and our property and those that we love. That's our call. That's a calling from the Most High. Every one of us has it. And shame on you if you're not prepared for it. That's where we're at, folks. I'm sorry. There is no white knight coming, whether it's Trump or anybody else. There is no gigantic group of military guys ready to swoop down and scoop up all of these Russian Red Mafia Bolsheviks that control our government completely. They're not there. If they were there, it would have happened already. So I hate to burst your bubble, but we're on our own. The good news is we're on our own with the King of Kings, the creator of this entire world. We can't fail, people. That's what they don't want you to ever come to the conclusion of. That's why all of this deception and all this kabuki theater is to get you to stop thinking about working together as a team. When we come back together as a family and we decide that our virtue and our character and our loved ones are more valuable than pieces of paper and chameleons, wolves in sheep's clothing in Washington or anywhere else, that somehow they have authority over us. No, they don't. No, they don't. And the sooner we reach that point, the better. Mike, right or wrong?
No, amen, 100%. And another thing that the Jew uses the media to believe is that there are so few of us. Well, that's not true. Even since 1965, when the government opened the floodgates, as Jacob Javits jumped up and clicked his heels about when the immigration laws were changed, we're still over 60% of the population of this country. And even though on every billboard and TV screen and you know, in every movie theater, all you see is blacks pushed, well, blacks are still only about 12 or 13% of the population. So if 60% of the country, most of whom have a lot of guns and a lot of ammunition and a lot of smarts, and are really pissed off, go look at John Mark's video on the war game scenario on how Civil War II plays out. We can't lose. We can't lose. And that's why, again, this directed energy weapon is getting pushed so much in these areas. But I'll tell you one thing that really encourages me. It's kind of sad. I don't know if I have the stomach for it. I better get ready. But what if there is a culling going on, Dan? I mean, doesn't the Bible say that, you know, at one point the Father opened up a crack in the earth and swallowed 3,000 of our people because they tried to rebel against Moses? I mean, didn't he cull a lot of the herd with the flood with Noah? So this creator is patient up to a certain point, but when the door of the ark gets closed, when the offer of repentance is rescinded, whoever's the flock, who's ever part of the family at that time, you've got a mark on you and you're protected. And no matter how many thousands fall at either side of you, you will be protected. You can claim that promise. Say his name. Say, Yah, you promised. I'm trying to obey you and keep your ways, but I'm pressed on all sides. Pray. Bring these violators, these criminals, this red mafia. Say, Father, I need you to judge these people in your court and handle them. They will be under such crisis after that because the Father's not a liar. You're his kindred. For all you people who are listening to this program for the first time, one of the titles for the Messiah was Kinsman Redeemer. You're his kin. This isn't kin used in some fluffy hippie way. Actual bloodline. Real relative. Real genetic stock. You're his people. if you're Caucasian. You're his people. So he said that's who he came for. I come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. People just like you who have forgotten who they are and where they came from. Because that's what your enemy, the adversary, and his children, the Jews, want you to do. They want you to forget. They want you to think you're here, just left adrift by some mean creator or some aliens who planted your seed here. No. You are the children of the Most High, and if you work with our, if we work with each other, if we cooperate with each other as a family, we can't lose. This is a promise. Look at all the things that we've accomplished on this planet without the mind of the Father, without being in compliance. Even by accident, look at some of the great stuff that we've accomplished. If we call on his name and cooperate as a family and say, no, we're going to live separate, we're going to help our own kind, and we don't need the permission of our enemy to do so. We can't lose. We can't lose.
Yep, amen to that. Well, there's a coordinated effort going on right now, and that's why it's encouraging to me. I mean, John Mark has done a couple great interviews. The interaction was wonderful. He's now making videos where he's referring people to you and I by name and by the show, and even playing a portion of our discussion on his channel. So, you know, and again, the best, I hate to use the word advertising, but the best method for information like that to go out is word of mouth. You know, marketers will say, well, you want a demographic and you want to word it this way and dress it up this way, but that's salesmanship. Yahweh is not to be sold as a commodity. He's the king. His truths are universal and timeless. And so, therefore, the only way that's legitimate is word of mouth. When people like John Mark and Kurt see the validity of the message that we're giving, and then they, in turn, pass it on to other people. That's the way it's supposed to work. But we're at the three-hour mark, believe it or not, Mike. Did you?
Yeah, it's just flies, right? I could talk about this all day.
Oh, I know.
One of the things if I could just wrap it up for my part, this is not a message of hate. So anybody that listens to this and you get a little tweak or a twinge, because we've been so brainwashed as Caucasians to feel that if we do anything to help ourselves, that means that we hate other people. Well, think about it this way for a second. Harken back to what I said. By the way, everybody should get that book, Human Accomplishment, by Dr. Charles Murray. Electric power, the light bulb, fossil fuels. Yeah, they're great. the automobile, medicine, everything in literature, architecture, sanitation, the clean processing of water and human waste has saved countless millions of lives and ended so much misery for peoples of all kinds around the whole world. So you take those people, get in a time machine and go back and take the Caucasian people, the white Europeans, the true Israelite people who developed all these things, take them off the earth as if they've never existed. And you tell me what kind of hell you would have on this planet right now. If there was a single human being still alive on this planet. So if anybody thinks it's a message of hate, that number one, a people wants to continue to exist and just be left alone, well, I feel really sorry for you, because that's a right every people has, to continue to exist and just be left alone, to have their own place to call their own homeland, their own nation. That's a natural right. But imagine if all of these people that developed all these things were gone.
Yeah, exactly.
We would be in, the world would be in so much trouble. So if you think it's hate and not a message of love for one's people and for people in general, you just don't understand. The Adam kind creation has a very special purpose to fulfill, and we're seeing it played out right now. Will Adam kind men stand up and get rid of the parasite that has caused every single drop of innocent blood to be shed on this planet?
Yeah.
That's our job. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And if we don't do it, the kind of place that every city on earth is going to be is just, you know, I don't even want to imagine it. But imagine if things were back to they were in a more genteel time in America's history, and if that was how people lived in every place on earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Which world would you rather live in? Yep.
Yep, exactly. So, well, you know, the scripture that comes to mind is where it says, you know, Abraham would be a blessing to the world. And those that supported Abraham would be blessed, and those who fought him would be cursed. So if you bless Abraham, meaning our people, you will be blessed in return. But if you fight us, if you're the Red Mafia trying to use technology to enslave people and to spy on people and to steal and kidnap and rape and murder, no, you're not going to be blessed. In fact, we're going to raise a sword against you, which is exactly what we're commanded to do. The men are to be armed and raise a sword against the wicked to cut them down. Like King David said, I count your enemies as my enemies, and I hate them with a perfect hatred. Perfect hatred!
Right. And if anybody doesn't think this is playing out around the world, go look up on YouTube right now this video. Celebration in Zimbabwe as a white farmer returns to seized land. This is a white man who is just in tears because the black Zimbabwean people who were convinced by a communist government and the Jew that they had been so wronged under white leadership, they're now being begged to come back. Think about that, folks. This was in 2017. Do you see this broadcast on the news by the Jew? Do you see this, how the peoples of the world can actually get along and work together, but the roles have to be properly understood? And in those places where the roles are properly understood and people carry out their role, gee, what a surprise. There is no chaos, there's no murder, there's no disease, there's no starvation, there's no pornography, there's no rape. Everything the Jew brings. Everything the Jew brings. I can go on forever. I'm sorry, Dan.
No, that's fine. But it's a case in point of what we're talking about. And here again, it's more verification of the scriptures once you know who's who. Jesus Christ was not a Jew. Yeshua was one of our kinsmen. And they murdered him. They orchestrated his murder because he rightly pointed out to the world that's exactly what they were: liars, thieves, and murderers. Which is funny because in The Red Mafia by Friedman, that's exactly how he describes the Russian Jewish mob, and the Russian Jewish mob when they came to the United States operates exactly the same way, with no soul, with no remorse, with absolutely no sense of guilt. And actually believes that they're justified in their acts of criminality because it's the way they do business. You know, it's just amazing to me. And again, the scriptures in the writings of John, he said, you guys are murderers, liars, and thieves. So, you know, we're only reiterating what our Messiah told us 2,000 years ago. And maybe, just maybe, we're going to finally get it. After 2,000 years, maybe we'll actually understand what the hell he was saying and take a defensive posture against these criminals and actually work to save the innocent lives, unlike what the current administration keeps saying. They want to stop the child pornography and everything else, and yet Podesta still walks. Clinton's still walk. And all the rest of the perverts that have been identified as part of that disgusting behavior, they're still walking around. Well, if we were in charge, Mike, I don't think they'd be walking around much longer. Do you?
No. And I think we should talk about in a future program, if you wouldn't mind. There was this really great couple who had worked in the Child Protective Services area in a southern state, I believe. I think it might have even been South Carolina. I forget their names. I'm drawing a blank. But they were calling out the criminality, that the purpose of this whole CPS ring was to give easy access to these pornographers and these drug dealers and these prostitution rings, most of whom were led by the Jew. And one night when they came home, they were killed, at, you know, by gunshot. But the government says that it was suicide. And
oh yeah,
it's just, I forget who that couple was. I'll do some research if we can talk about it. So if anybody has any doubt that, you know, what happens to people when they speak up against the Jew, what the mob does to them, this was a gangland style killing. Who would want to kill somebody that's trying to protect kids? Think about it, folks. Wouldn't only the mob want to do this? The mob who uses kids for prostitutes and customers for their drugs and pornography?
Yep.
I can't. It's just, how come this message doesn't get through to the average person? I don't. It's just way too much evidence.
Well, you know, it reminds me of something members of my family told me when I first started the radio show, and they were concerned. And I said, "Well, why are you concerned?" They said, "Because you're outing the Jews." I said, "Well, yeah." And they said, "Well, they're very powerful people. Be careful." So even some of my elders, in their own cryptic way, were trying to say that you're talking about people that have no problem with destroying you, setting you and your house on fire, blowing up your car. These people have committed so many atrocities, it would probably take 18 volumes of a regular large book just to catalog their criminality. It's just unbelievable. And the world's suffering for it because the criminals are in complete control of corporate America, and that's why Monsanto, which is run by Jews, even though it's been sold to Bayer, which is run by Jews, all the large pharmaceutical companies are run by Jews, they do what they do because it makes money. You have to remember, these are all mobsters, gangsters. And when you read this book, like Red Mafia and others, there's others out there too, when you understand the mindset of the mob, it helps explain what government is doing. They're all controlled by the mob. That's why they can send a guy like James, the fellow I met out in Iowa, who was a United States Army sniper. And he's telling me about the number of kills he was credited with. I said, "Well, I think it was 21 confirmed kills." I said, "Yeah, but how many unconfirmed? It's usually at least twice as many unconfirmed." So I said, "You've killed, you've sniped probably close to 100 people." He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, James, can I ask you a question? How is it that you know for a fact these were bad guys?" He said, "Dan, I have come to learn since I got out of the military that probably a good number of those men that I killed were innocent men, that I killed them for the government and for the corporations. I took out their competition." He goes, "That's why I have nightmares every single night of my life." And it's also why he formed his own local militia preparing for the day when the criminals will be dealt with. So this is why it's important to understand what we're talking about. This poor guy donned the uniform of the United States Army. Oh, and I ask him, where were you in Vietnam that you killed these people? He goes, I was never in Vietnam. I said, well, then where the hell were you? The only war for your age group even possible was Vietnam, or possibly the Middle East later on. He said, Dan, I was in South America. So he was sent by our government. Huh?
Probably fulfilling exactly what John Perkins said in his book, you know, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. He was one of the jackals sent in to get rid of probably a righteous man who wouldn't do what the Jew corporate criminal wanted him to do.
Exactly. It's, I like reading these books because they show the inner workings and the mentality, if you want to call it that, the criminal mentality of how they operate. You have to know yourself and you have to know your enemy. Sun Tzu says it. If you know yourself and your enemy, what does Sun Tzu say, Mike? You will win every battle. That's according to Sun Tzu in The Art of War. If you know yourself and your limitations and your strengths and those of your enemy, you can't fail, is basically what he's saying. And that's what John Mark and you're saying, Mike. We refer to ourselves as the winning right because as righteous individuals, we cannot fail. If we know who's who in the zoo and how those other who's do what they do. And that's the whole point of why I talk about these books and everything. They are classic research manuals on how your enemy works. And it's time to fight fire with fire. We've reached that point. Okay? Enough innocent blood has been shed. It's time for the criminals to pay the price. Because this current administration and all of these government agencies are all on the take or are being blackmailed. Almost every single one of them. That's why nothing changes, folks. The rhetoric changes, the face changes. Just like we went from Sessions to Barr. Has anything changed? No. And I spoke yesterday with a man who grew up in the area where Jeff Sessions lives. He knew him personally. They talked together. He even ran for politics at the same time. So, and he said, I am ashamed. I used to think Jeff Sessions was a good man. He goes, I am ashamed that I even know the man. Okay? Nothing changes. They just rotate the chairs on the Titanic. That's all that's happening. They're just playing a different tune and moving the chairs around on the deck of the Titanic. And I hope people here understand what happened to the Titanic. All right? It's not going to get fixed by immoral, unrighteous people in the pockets of these mobsters. It's never going to get fixed by them. It's up to the righteous to stand firm. And then the wicked flee. The righteous haven't done it up to now, Mike. So the call to righteousness and the call to arms amongst the righteous men, I believe that's where we're at. That's what has to happen. What do you think?
I agree. And again, it's natural to be afraid. The bravest men, you hear the stories of men that fought in World War II on Omaha Beach, and a lot of these guys are, they would do one or two tours and they'd come back and they'd tell horror stories, or some of the bravest of them refused. They didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to think about it. So if anybody thinks that you're a coward because you're afraid, no, you're smart to be afraid. But are
exactly.
you going to let a little bit of fear prevent you from doing the right thing by yourself and your people? You know, as a matter of fact, Dan, I'm going to get a T-shirt printed up that says, we don't need permission to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's a way we can, you know, get the message out. You know, you wear a T-shirt like that and people will stop and ask, well, that's cool. Where'd you get that? What does it mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, buddy. I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and clip this one, and then we'll pick it up on the next program.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the privilege of speaking.
Oh, absolutely. It's an honor. So have a great rest of your day. Yahweh bless your heart and watch over you and protect you. We pray Psalm 91 for all of our listeners and all of his children everywhere, the soldier's psalm of protection, that as we see these plagues and these disastrous things going on to thousands at our one side and 10,000 at our other side, these plagues won't come into the tents of his children. So far, I've seen that the Psalm 91 true in the area of health. The Israelites that obey the food laws and the Israelites that are trying to eat organically and get exercise and sunshine and drink clean water, etc., they're not in the hospitals. They're not the ones dying and getting organs replaced and joints replaced. It's those that are disobedient. So, but anyway, Mike, have a great day, and Yahweh bless your heart, bud.
Yes, sir. Yah bless.
Yah bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, thanks for being with us. We ask Yahweh to look after each and every one of you. And dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. And we come before you today in humility to ask that you would chasten us if we have any spot of impurity amongst our soul within us. Cleanse it out of us and prepare us as you have silver in the fire, that we may be a reflection of you and your values. Ask that all of our children have your thoughts for their thoughts, your words in place of their words, that we be examples of you amongst these critters that we walk amongst, and that we would come back together as a family and understand that as a united family, we are literally invincible. And then we bring good works to the world. This is not a message of hatred, as Mike so appropriately said. It's a message of righteousness. And the whole world, whether they even understand it or not, is seeking righteousness because of all of this criminality. It touches every single place on earth. These monsters have gone. They're waiting for the Michaels and the Gabriels, the archangels with their swords and their shields that will do the fight and take the righteous fight to the enemy. We're getting awful close, folks, awful close. So look after us, Father. Walk with us. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings. And we ask always that you would protect us from our enemies. And we ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.